The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Never. Don't say no, never.
Never.
Here we go.
In your life, see your devil kiss his wife. Did you ever, ever in your life?
No.
There you go. That's how you do that. Good evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to a unique radio experience experiment. This is the most dangerous radio show you're ever going to hear. The next 3 hours could be lethal. At the moment, I can see. Catherine can see. Sam can see. But in a few moments, we will not be able to see. Because we're going to be taking the hashtag Bird Box Challenge. Why do you laugh?
Why though? Why?
Why do you laugh when I say hashtag? That's you got everything's got to have a hashtag these days.
Because you everything sound does. Like you sound like granddad. That's why.
Wow.
I mean, here's the thing. Too old for this caper. We're not memes.
You know when Clive Dunn played granddad?
Yeah.
Private Benjamin. No,
Charlie.
No, not but when he played Granddad, but when he played the first time he played an old man in Dad's Army.
Oh, in Dad's Army, yeah.
He was like 28 or something.
Well.
And then when he played Granddad, it's Granddad Charlie Quick, if you've got a song, he'll conduct the singers on.
But those were
plays the piano with his old fella.
Those were the post-war years where there weren't that many old men about.
But so Granddad, was his act was doing, imagine this, right? It's a young to middle-aged man whose act, his only act, is to pretend to be old.
I could do a really good old lady voice.
How sad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no one's interested. No, I didn't ask.
Well, I'm just saying it.
No, we're not interested.
I don't care. I'm just saying it. Put it out there.
Okay, well, fine. Well, if any movie producer, if Steven Spielberg is listening,
yeah,
and you can't find any old ladies in America, you can get Catherine. She's doing an old lady voice, but she's not auditioning it on this show. The only time I will ever ask Catherine to do her old lady voice is if we get really, really desperate for material. Now, tonight's show is going to be something very unique and something very different and something very dangerous. We're doing the hashtag Bird Box Challenge. Now, for those of you who have not seen the movie Bird Box,
I haven't seen it.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it. Suffice to say, it's really enjoyable when you're watching it, but the further away you get from it, the more you think, it's a bit rubbish. But in it, they have to wear blindfolds to survive. And this has kind of caught on. There's now hashtag Bird Box Boxing.
What, people just windmilling
yes.
into each other?
Yes.
Wow.
There's hashtag a Bird Box Walking. And there's hashtag Bird Box Bumming.
What?
And all of these activities involve people wearing a blindfold where normally they would be able to see. So
all three of those activities
yes, sir.
Could be encapsulated by the idea of, I'm doing this, it's not my fault if you get in the way.
Kind of, yes.
Right.
And I thought we would do a world's first, and this is a world's first, and there's some people, some idiots, some scumbags, some absolute losers who have been posting pictures of them with headphones on in front of a microphone and a blindfold. Well, one guy then tweeted a few minutes later, I only managed to do it for a minute. Well, you're a dick. So we're doing it for 3 hours. We've got blindfolds. I've got my blindfold, my sleep mask. This is the mask. You can smell it. This is the mask I sleep in.
Does it stink?
It does stink, yeah. I've had this for about 2 or 3 years.
Smelly eyes.
Oh, you meant to put it over your eyes, right? So I'm going to be wearing this. Now, what this means is I can't see my hotkeys. That means quite a lot, actually. Well, I can't see the screen to see if we've got callers. I can't put the callers on. I know what I need to do is I need to just get that hover that so that I can put a caller through. All right, I'll put a caller through. I can do that. Now, I won't be able to cut them off, though. Okay, anyway, we'll get around that. We'll work our way around that. So I'm going to be wearing a mask. Catherine is going to be wearing a mask. And what a lot of people, thank you, Lino, and a few others, have said, ooh, I bet Catherine takes off and is flicking the V's at Ian. Well,
I don't need to take it off to do that.
Okay, but don't. Keep the mask on. It's for the full experience. The full experience. We are entering uncharted territories.
Do you promise me that you're not going to use this as an opportunity to sneak up on me and make me swear?
Yeah, I promise, mate. Okay. Of course, I've got to know when the dump button is. Hang on, let me just see if I can find the dump button in the dark. Got it. Okay, I can do the dump button. Okay. And now here's the thing. He doesn't know this yet. Sam, who answers the phones. Sam, if you could just come on the microphone for a second, because I really want you to be a part of this. So we've got an eye mask for you.
Too kind.
So
does it mean I mean, this is a bit. This is a bit where I really leave.
Okay.
The programme, because
how am I supposed to know when people are calling in?
Exactly.
And I mean, I'm just going to literally have to be clicking the screen non-stop.
Yes. All right. Fine.
Until eventually I hear a voice.
Okay. Fine.
I don't know how I'm going to call them back, but
it's fine. It's fine. Hey, listen. Listen. Do you think Neil? Who's the man on the moon? Neil
Armstrong.
Do you think Neil Armstrong was a pussy? Because you two are pussies. You two are Buzz Aldrins.
I just don't see why
he didn't walk on the moon blind.
No, he didn't, but he walked. He was the first to try something. And we're the first to try something. No one has ever done this before, and we're the first to do it. And it's going to be exciting. Now, here we go. Now, here's where it gets exciting. Don't put it on yet, Sam, you idiot. I've not finished explaining it. Here's where it gets exciting. You can only call in, dear listener, if you are wearing a blindfold. Haven't got a blindfold, I will accept. Well, I see a tie around your eyes. I'd accept a tie that's gaffer taped on, because a tie you'll be able to see under. Look like that, you can see under. So you'd have to be gaffer taped on. And a lot of losers going, oh, just close my eyes. Well, if you close your eyes, you might as well go and listen to another radio station, because you're not welcome to listen to talk radio between now and 1 o'clock. So I will be wearing a blindfold. Catherine will be wearing a blindfold. Sam will be wearing a blindfold. All of the callers will be wearing a blindfold. And here's the rub. I'd really appreciate it, dear listener, if you wore a blindfold. I think it will make for a much more exciting experience to become part of the void, the universe, the cosmos, the piece of eternal angelic string that holds all of our souls together.
The bullshine.
I think it would be good if you could do that. Roger's tweeted, I'm already half blind. Do I really need a blindfold? You need two blindfolds, Roger, because I just, there's something about you guys I don't trust. You need blindfolds and headphones. Hello?
Hello?
Sorry. Oh, it's downloaded. So, we're going to go. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to, at home, if you're listening, get ready to put your blindfolds on. Oh, 0344 499 1000 is the telephone
actually,
number.
Be wise. Put it in your phone now for when you want to ring
it. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Put it, okay, we'll wait.
Put it in.
For you to input the phone number and okay, that's probably long enough. So 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. I will oversee the blindfold putting on. So Sam, are you ready? Catherine, are you ready? Blindfold over the head and yours has got eyes on it.
Yeah, but they're only painted on. Hang on. I've got it too tight.
Let's move this water out of the way because I don't want to cause a Paul Ross. Ready?
Still too tight, hang on.
Oh, crying out. And blindfolds on.
You're peeping.
I'm peeping on Sam because I don't trust him. Put yours on, Boyle.
I'm peeping on you because I don't trust you.
Put yours on. For crying out loud. Sam, take yours off for a second, mate. Take it off because Catherine's being a bell end. Excuse my language on a Monday, but this is something. This is our chance. This could get us on the front page of the papers again, like when we saved that actor, saved that man's life. I was just testing.
I could see. Do you know what? I could smell you doing the bird.
I was just testing to see. Right. And blindfolds on. And we're in darkness. And the show begins. I cannot see anything. I'm going to put my headphones on. All I've got is this. I've got access to this.
I like mine quite hard. And then I like to put it all in my mouth at once.
You're a pervert.
There we go. Oh, that was good! I didn't see that! So, we are now blind.
Hang on a minute.
You can't take it off now.
I'm supposed to keep a tally of who's rung up. Have you got a pen?
Yes, I have, actually, mate. No, because I need it.
Why?
You should have brought your own pen.
Oh, hang on, I found one.
Okay. So.
You got any paper?
03. No, I need it. 03. Hello, is there anybody there?
Go into the bin.
Hello, is there anybody there?
Hello.
Oh! Hello!
Hello.
Who is that?
Oh, it's Gaffer. It's Gaffer, I think.
Are you wearing a blindfold?
Yeah, I've got a handkerchief, a clean one, wrapped around underneath my glasses.
Okay. What are you doing, Kath?
I cannot. My headphones.
This is already the most exciting.
Oh, I just hit myself in the face.
That wasn't you, that was me. This is already the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, and I'm on the line.
Hello. Well, okay, Gafford, so you're blindfolded.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
By the way,
how long do you reckon it'll take for someone to say we're taking the mickey out of blind people?
Do you want me to do it now and get it out of the way?
Yeah, go on, please.
Oh, you're taking the mick out of blind people.
Totally, man. They're well funny.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm sitting down, so I feel quite safe.
Okay.
But I imagine if I was to get up and walk around, I'd feel a bit uncertain.
Here's the thing: we never really experience true total darkness. Very rarely. I experienced it when I went potholing once, but true total darkness, and the feeling is it's terrifying. It's exhilarating. Anything could happen.
Hello.
I don't like this.
Hey, we got another 2 hours and approximately 45 minutes. How are we going to do the breaks? Okay, we'll get there. We'll work it out.
It's okay. I think I know where the button is.
Okay. Well, hang on. Sam, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay. He
found the talkback button.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Gaffer, calm down, mate.
He's been doing this a long time.
You know he knows the word talkback. Well, this guy's got an in.
That's not even the talkback button. That was his fader.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else, Gafford? Goodbye to you. Have you gone now? Hello. Is there anyone there? Oh, this is working.
Now he knows how I feel.
Sorry. You're on the air,
Ian. It's me. Now you know how I feel.
Who?
Manny.
Hey, Manny.
It doesn't sound like you, Manny. You sound less Birmingham and less Asian than normal.
You sound really posh. Is that your
Hey, you
work
say,
voice?
Hang on, you're saying the people from Birmingham and Asians can't be posh?
Just saying
racist.
Saying, it sounds like
racist.
Posh Manny.
Tommy Robinson.
I'm a little drinky.
Oh.
Oh, Manny.
No, it's my mum's birthday. Only one.
Come on. All right, well, let's hope it's just one.
Only one.
All right, mate. All right, mate. All right, buddy. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Now you know how I feel.
Well, not quite. But we get a sense of it. We get a little sense. Where's my microphone? I want to get intimate. Well, there it is. We're getting very. Oh, that's the wrong button. Oh, no,
dick.
Oh.
What's dick. Would you stop that, please?
I don't know.
Shag a pony.
There we go. Yes, Manny. Hello. Who's there?
All darkness.
Okay. Let's try. Hello. Who's there? Hello?
There's no one else there.
Hello. Hello, who's that?
Hello.
Hello, who are you?
It's me. Who do you think it is?
All right, thanks so much. Okay. Have you gone now? Okay. Now we're going to play the adverts.
Oh.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It's the hashtag Bird Box special. Catherine, myself and Sam answering the phones are blindfolded. Sam, could you come on the microphone, please? We've got a technical question. He's got to find it.
He's got to find the fader.
Is that it? There
Yay!
We go.
Sam, are all the news pre-recorded tonight?
Yes, and I have thought, how?
Okay, fine, don't worry. I've got this.
Okay.
Right, let me find my phone. Right, hang on a minute. Hey, Google, set an alarm for 10:58, please.
That's clever.
Sorted.
Yes, baby!
Your Google is so straight.
Now, the rest of it, we're just going to have to... Right, okay, so let's just see. Hello, who's there?
It's me, Ian.
Who's this? Manny?
Manny? Have you got voice on your phone?
Have I got boyfriends on my phone?
No, voice over.
Voice over on my phone?
Have you got an iPhone?
No, mate, I haven't. I've got a Huawei.
Huawei.
If you go iPhone,
My iPhone fell down the toilet full of fecal matter.
Okay, ooh. If you have voice,
well, I haven't.
Voiceover on.
But I haven't got it.
If you have it.
But I haven't. There's no point saying if you have, because I haven't.
What about you, Kath?
I haven't got my phone in here. I'm a professional.
What about the newsreader?
Newsreader is a recording.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a favour. I can't cut you off, Manny. Can you hang up, please?
Why?
Because I'm bored of talking to you, and
no,
right, okay. Well, I can put you there, but I can't cut you off. But I think if I go up there,
experience the unconventional,
evening, boys.
The unpredictable,
what's happening,
and the completely unorthodox,
exactly,
with rule-free Ian Lee, the late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days
on Talk Radio.
Hello, who's that?
Yeah, name Dave.
It's who?
Me, Dave.
All right, Dave.
That's who I am.
All right, Dave. Are you wearing...
Who are you?
Are you... What? Shut up. Are you wearing a blindfold?
Are you talking to me like an idiot?
No, I'm talking. I'm talking to you like an intelligent man, but I'm addressing you.
No, mate. You're not intelligent. You're an obnoxious asswipe.
No, I'm intelligent. Hey, listen, who's the one who's wearing a blindfold?
No, you're not.
Me or you?
You're not intelligent.
I'm intelligent. I can cut you off without even seeing you.
You're the person that sits there and states that you're suicidal yourself,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
And
I do.
Listen to me, right?
No, I don't have to. I don't have to listen to you. I can cut you off anytime I want. Well, I can't cut you off, but I can take you off air. But I can't cut you off. I can put you back on as well. You still there, Dave?
Cut me off. I don't really care.
Okay, well, go away then, you idiot.
No, because you can't listen.
I really want to sing I Believe I Can Fly, but we've just been watching the R. Kelly documentary. No. I don't think we can.
I'm cancelling that.
Yeah.
No, you're obnoxious.
Okay, mate, well, listen, while no one can hear you, you're not on air. So, again, I ask, who is the idiot?
Listen to me, right?
No, I won't. I'll engage in a conversation with you, man, because I'm a decent human being. I'm one of the best. I'm in the top 3%. I'm Buddha personified. But I'll engage in a conversation, but not a slanging match. There we go. It's still going. Let me just see who's down here. Hello, who's there? Who's that?
Hello, it's Dave.
Hello, Steve. How you doing, mate?
Dave.
No, different Dave.
It's a different Dave.
I couldn't find a blindfold, so I've got a paper bag on my head.
That'll do.
Can we hear the evidence of that?
Yes! Don't put plastic bags on your head, kids, but paper bags I'm cool with.
Paper bag. I've poked a little hole in where the ear is.
Cheeky.
And one from the mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Well, that's something. Well, what can we? Okay. I've got a load of stories written down, but I've just realised that they're written down, and
I've forgotten a lot of them.
That's going to be tricky.
I don't even know where the. Here's the paper, but it's written down, so I can't remember them. So we watched a bit of the R. Kelly documentary today. Have you seen any of that? Surviving R. Kelly.
I haven't, although I know people who want to get it in this country. But
You can. It's online. We're watching it. Listen, it'll be shown at some point, so watch it through the legitimate channels. But we're watching it on Vimeo, and it's we saw halfway through the first episode.
Mind you, I'm the person who sends you Pimple Popper. So.
This is Dave. This is Pimple Popper Dave. Hello, mate. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Well, the whole series is up online.
Did you get the episode over Christmas?
Sorry?
Did you get the episode of Pimple Popper?
Do you know what? You sent me one, and I was kind of not really looking at email, so I didn't watch it. Was it a Christmas special?
I don't think so.
How do you do a Christmas Pimple Popper special?
You do you
tinsel
do
around it.
Father Christmases and the elves. You do little folk. Little folk.
I think there might have been one called the 12 Pops of Christmas or something like that.
Oh, my God.
She's one hell of a lady. My dream partner is someone who will squeeze all of the spots on my back, and yes, there are a few, without any question, but also will get as much pleasure from it as I do, and would prefer it to a bunk up.
Right. In other words, he wants a real pervert.
Yes.
Dave, you busy?
I am now.
Okay. All right. Well, Dave, how are you finding the hashtag Bird Box Challenge experience? The experience is not part of the hashtag, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I've got my head in a bag, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let's see. Hello, caller. Who's there?
It's Louise, and I don't have a blindfold or tie, but I'm wearing the Late Night Loser tote bag.
Okay.
Well, where are you wearing it?
Yeah.
Over my head.
There we go.
Here's the problem I've got with bags overheads, okay, including the last guy there. I was being nice, but actually I need to clamp down a bit. Is if you look down...
You'll see your own
You
chest.
Can see.
No, well, you can't actually with this one, but I need to be totally honest and say that...
You're not wearing the bag.
Actually a little bit see-through.
Thanks very much for calling. You can only call in... Catherine, explain the rules to them, please.
Phone in if you've got a blindfold on. Right, I'm concentrating because I'm trying to find my water without tipping it over. This is... There it is.
Okay, we're all wearing blindfolds. This is genuinely happening. We'll have to get... We'll have to take a picture. I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to try.
How do you know?
Well, this is it.
I've got to find the mic again. Now there it is.
I think I'm taking a picture. I think I've taken a picture.
I think because of the blindfold, you might not have cut me off.
Oh, flip, is that Dave? Oh, he's gone. Hello?
I can't cut you off, you see. You just have to put the phone down.
I've lost my place on the switchboard now.
Uh-oh.
This is now we're in
this
trouble.
Is mayhem.
Now we're in trouble. I've moved them. Hello?
Hello.
Who is that?
It's still Louise.
You've got to put the phone down because you're not wearing it. Put the phone down.
Yes, boss.
Thank you.
I can't see to put the phone down.
You can see better than we can. What if I go up a little bit? Hello?
No.
I'm having to make micro movements with the mouse. Because if I...
You could take the whole station off air.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
See, I don't know how close I was to the... There's like little pockets I have to hit on the screen to put a call through. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you know who I am.
Who are you?
I'm Dave with the blindfold on.
Okay. Which Dave? Dave Pimple Popping Dave?
No.
No. No, mate. The obnoxious Dave.
Okay, right. Well, could you? I'm going to ask you very politely. Could you go away?
No.
I'd really like it if you went away.
Well, I know you what you'd really like, but this is a talk radio, and I'm here to talk, mate.
It's not a talk radio. That doesn't make sense.
That's what it's called. Yeah, talk radio.
Yeah, it's not called a talk radio. That's what I'm saying. It's finding the dots.
No, it's called talk radio. I'm here to talk.
Yeah, but it's not called a talk radio, and that's what you said it was, and I'm just correcting you.
I never said that.
Yes, you did, actually.
This is how it is. You're obnoxious towards your people.
No, I'm not obnoxious. I'm only obnoxious towards idiots. You said it was called a talk radio. You said it was called a talk radio, and it's not.
Mate, do me a favour and commit suicide. Ooh. And do me... a good
David,
favour for you to do it.
David, what a rude...
No, that's you.
Here's the thing, I might go home and kill myself because some arsehole phoned me up and told me to.
Well, he did sound legit.
Gosh, he must... This guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and do it because some guy told me to.
He was a nice guy too.
No, you're...
Dave...
Still going. Who hurt you, Dave?
Dave, listen. Did mummy not love you? Did daddy love you too much? What happened? What went wrong in your... Oh, I get it. Are you one of the people... I'm going to ask you a question. Let's have a conversation, OK? You've done your suicide a little bit, and that was great. Well done. Everyone's judging you. That's fine. You're not on air, but I will bring you back if I can find the right thing. But I want to ask you a question, OK?
Idiot, man.
OK. Can I ask you a question, Dave?
This is me you're talking to.
Yeah, can I ask you a question, Dave?
Go on, question on.
Okay, question on. And then it'll be question off, okay? Are you a fan of Tommy Robinson?
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Dave, I'm going to play a trailer for one of my colleagues. Is that all right?
You what?
There we go.
There we go.
This is an advert for one of the people who works here. Let's hope it's not Matthew Wright.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, dear listener. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, the late night alternative. It's the hashtag Bird Box Challenge. We are both blindfolded. This is absolutely straight up. It's not a scam. I think I took a picture, but then I realised I can't tweet it, so there's no point. But this is absolutely no scam. We are genuinely doing this. I cannot see the clock. I'm guessing the time. Before we put the blindfolds on, the way the calls come through... Sam's blindfolded as well. Sam, how are you doing out there?
Oh, OK, I'm just starting to get worried about a couple of other bits that I'm going to have to do later.
Like what?
Well, play the news, for example, because I've got to try and find the right file that it's saved in.
Well, whatever comes up, you've got to go. You've just got to stay
okay.
With it, right? Listen, we saved a man's life. We can get away with murder.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I think we save one. We're allowed to take one.
Oh.
Sorry, I thought I'd stopped it.
Sam's face when we told him. Oh, by the way, you're doing this as well. What? 03444991000. We'll try and get you through, but we can't promise. We can't promise, you know. We do want you, if you're calling in, to wear a blindfold. And I would suggest that if you're listening at home, also wear a blindfold for the full listening experience. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller. Who's this?
Hello, it's the UK's second best paranormal investigator, David Babcock.
Gosh, we're very David heavy tonight. I'm not complaining.
Three Davids in a row, something for the ladies. And he said something very rude then, but I stopped it. Good evening, well, David. Are you... Thank you, Catherine. I think being blindfolded makes me a better person.
More sensitive.
Are you blindfolded, Dave, Id?
Well, I've tied my two socks together.
Okay, where?
Around your...
penis as a bow tie. Hang on a minute. I wonder if I can... I should be able to. Where's my computer? Hang on, let me see if I can find something. Hang on.
No, I totally disagree with sex with a robot.
Well, you do keep butting in, don't you?
I'm close, hang on.
You want me to do it for you, rub
hang
it
on.
In?
I'm close.
I'm David Babcock there and I got my willy stuck in the Hoover.
I'm learning. I'm learning.
I'm David Babcock and I got my willy stuck in the Hoover.
So,
you're
David...
You're not wearing a blindfold.
Sorry?
You're not wearing a blindfold.
I'm wearing a blindfold. I swear to God I am. I hope some video footage of this makes...
How did you find that so quick?
Because I've tidied up my hotkeys. And I only tied it up last week, and I remembered roughly on the keyboard where it was. It's round about here.
Why does life have to be so
Oh, no, it's miles away. It's the other side. This is...
Don't be so silly, cat.
It's...
Shaggy pony.
Shag a pony.
It's down from there. They're quite high. I think it's this row.
I have a vibrator.
Oh, it's here.
I'm David.
There we go.
I got my willy stuck in the Hoover.
I'm learning my way around it. Ask for any of my classic sound bites, and I'll play it.
You're funny.
All right, that's up near the top. That's here. Oh, no.
Dirty pervert.
No, it's up here.
I've got a mouth for a sausage.
You're a fan.
There we go! This is great! Ask for another.
What's about Brad Pussy?
What? Black...
Brad Pussy. The Macca bot.
Oh, that's really tricky because I can't... That's on a different screen. So I can't, I cannot, I don't think that's down here. I've deactivated it now.
Uh-oh.
I've done something to it, and it doesn't work now, so thanks.
Anyway, with your socks round your face, what's going
on? You keep
on?
Talking to him, I've got to try and work out why this isn't working.
What's going on, David Babcock?
Well, you know, it's difficult working at the Henry these days.
Oh, I've broken
The what?
It. I work at the Henry delivering baby eggs.
A Henry, is that what they're called?
It's a massive building with loads of hens in it, and they deliver eggs by the bucket load, and I pluck them out of their bottoms.
Oh, I thought normally they push them out. You don't wait. Proper fresh.
What's that?
What have you found?
What's that?
I don't know, but turn it off. What was that?
That's the volume. But what is that? Is that cars? Why have I got cars? Why have I got cars? Oh! That's two-lane blacktop playing.
That's what?
That's two-lane blacktop, Dennis Wilson.
And now? Now what?
I can mute it, right?
What's that now? Oh, that's Steve Brule.
Oh!
That's going to have swears, isn't it? And then what's that?
Well, that is bugging everything, because I thought that we could... That has screwed everything up. I think I can fix it.
All right.
I'm turning the computer off and on again.
That's quite deafening, that.
Then I should be able to swipe across to get to the hotkeys. David, you've buggered everything. That was my get-out-of-jail-free card, was having the hotkeys up.
Well, at least I've served the purpose.
Yes, mate. Oh, I've got to type in a password, haven't I?
Oh, my. This is not going to happen.
Don't hear more about the hens.
Go on. Do it. Do the hen thing.
On the keyboard, for people like ourselves who are visually impaired, David, there is one key that's got like a little lip in it.
Yeah, in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, what letter is that?
H.
Right, you just guessed that, didn't you? I don't think it is. I think it's O. So that should be M. Oh, I nearly said my password.
How will you know if you're in or not?
It's broken. Right. It's broken. We're broken. We're out. This game is almost over.
Right.
No sound effects. David, so you pulled eggs out of chickens' bums?
Well, some chickens have slightly narrower passages.
Isn't it called a cloa or something?
No, it's called a
I don't know. I tend to call it its hole.
Okay. But isn't it like a double bum? The chicken's passage where he gets eggs from.
Okay, guys, okay, this is great, great. I'm glad you got a job, David, but I don't really care about...
Like a two-in-one.
I don't care about it. So thanks for your call.
I have to hang up.
Yes, you do.
Well, I've got a blindfold on, I'll bloody hang up.
Well, it's easy for you to... Just put the phone down in the cradle.
It's not the cradle, it's a mobile phone.
Well, just switch it off. Press and hold the off button.
Hang on.
Okay.
This could take a while. Don't laugh. This is going to be all night.
I'll have to put you on speakerphone. You don't like that, do you?
Well, did we do
Why?
That?
Why are you putting us on speaker?
Because I've got to press the keys. It's to my ear.
Okay, go on. We don't have to hear you. We don't have to talk to you. Just do it. Switch it off.
1 second.
I still think this is a stupid idea. There?
Yeah, unfortunately, we are, and you shouldn't be. It's a great idea, Catherine, although it's not particularly worked so well. Yes? Just press and hold the off button, you muppet.
I can't turn it off because I'm watching a video.
Oh, yeah.
All right, goodbye, pervert. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. 03444991000 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. We've talked about video games. We've talked about being a woman and getting dick pics. We've talked about mouth ulcers, divorce. Fun show, huh?
Such a fun show.
Fun show. What have you got, Catherine Boyle?
Should we do bum pillows?
Oh, yeah. This is, yes, you mentioned this yesterday and I never quite got to the bottom
this
of it.
This is in the Daily Mirror. Shoppers are buying bum pillows for odd reasons. And booby pillows too. I mean, that is the weirdest headline.
But these are pillows that look like bums, or they're for your bums?
No, they look like bums. They look like a pair of tight yoga pants.
Okay, right. Yeah.
But cut off, like, the
cut
cycling
shorts. Cut off the torso and cut off halfway down the thigh.
Yeah, so like a pair of stuffed cycling shorts.
Okay. But what are they for?
For your head, I think. Or whatever. Getting a great night's sleep is important to everyone, and finding the right pillow for you is essential. But a new trend is emerging of body-shaped pillows to rest your head on, such as boobs and bums, and people are buying them for weird reasons. You don't say. Bum pillows are a thing because resting your head on your partner's booty is apparently a popular activity.
What if they blow off?
Exactly. God. The buttress pillow, which costs £54. That's an expensive laugh, isn't it?
Come on, guys.
Is shaped just like a bum and comes in three different colours, blue, black and grey. According to the product's description, it's great for all types of sleepers, as well as butt slappers, squeezers, caressers and face buriers. Interesting.
Face buriers.
The idea is that you rest your head in the sweet spot between the thighs and cheeks so it gently cradles you and supports the neck. It's designed for side sleepers, back sleepers and stomach sleepers. What, so? Sleepers. The legs are flexible and separate, so you can dress up your buttress with undies. Ah, okay, perverts, the description adds. The butt pillow, launched through a Kickstarter campaign, is getting rave reviews. One pervert, wrote on the website, "Mine arrived the other day. I can honestly say it's well made. Nice firmness, a joy to cuddle, hold and squeeze and rest with. I'm a butt man and I totally recommend the buttress pillow."
Oh, gee, I'm a butt man, but I like real butts.
Yeah, not disembodied butts.
I want a butt. I want a nice, big, old butt. I don't want these tiny little butts. I want a big old butt. And not a fake one made it for a pillow. I want a real human, preferably a lady, but, you know, big old butt.
It's not the only body part-shaped pillow you can get your hands on. On Amazon, you can nab yourself a super soft booby pillow,
there we
complete
go.
With nipples. And that's just $14.99. It sounds very comfortable. It's already racked up some positive reviews online. Of course it has. Let's look at what the perverts are saying. Bought for my father. He loves boobs and relaxing, so this seemed perfect, if not a little weird, one customer wrote. Yes, it is weird buying your dad anything to do with boobs, isn't it? Isn't it?
Ay, ay, ay.
So that's the end of that story. Aren't people weird?
I've got to take... Oh, have I got to take this call? OK. I've got to take this call straight as it goes through. Hello, Steffi.
Oh, good evening. Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, Steffi. How are you? Sorry, we're having trouble calling you back, so I have to take your call straight to air. I apologise.
Oh, no problem. No, I've got one of these stupid call blockers on my phone and I'm trying to work out how to delete it. So.
Well, call blockers are great, but they also block calls from legitimate places.
My phone never rings anyway, so I don't know.
Oh, poor you.
No, it doesn't. Only my mum, she calls the hotline. Everyone else phones the mobile.
I don't have a landline, but I'm feeling I ought to get one because I've got to make a couple of calls to America and stuff. I'll do it here. I'll just do it here.
No, this one's just blocking unknown numbers, so yeah. I'm going to have to get rid of it because there's an awful lot of organisations that call you from unknown numbers.
Well, you've got through to us now, Steffi. What can we do for you?
Well, I was phoning up because I tuned in a little bit early and I heard you just on the back of speaking with Claire about how women are treated online.
Yeah.
And mine is hardly a unique situation because there's a lot of transgender people about. But
Tweet me about this, Steffi?
Yeah.
Go on, good, because I forgot to read it out. But go on, tell us what's happened to you.
No, it's fine. You were having quite a bit of shit from some of the Stephen Yaxley Lennon brigade. So I don't blame you for turning Twitter off. But obviously I've had sort of like a social media presence for a good few years now, and I had it before I transitioned.
Yeah.
But the actual attitude and, you know, towards me has changed markedly. And it's, you know, I mean, you know, on Facebook, you know, when I was masquerading as a guy, you know, you'd get the odd friend requests and stuff, and you might get the odd private message, you know, just saying hello and what have you. But it's remarkable now just how many sleazy people try and add you and send you dick pics.
So hang on, when you say, and by the way, I loved your turn of phrase, when you were masquerading as a man. That is a great description. I love that. But so you saying people come slide straight into your DMs with a dick pic or, you know, will you do a sex act on me kind of vibe?
Completely.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so interesting hearing your perspective because, you know, who else could give us a perspective of both sides there like that? And do you think they're doing it because you're a woman or specifically because they think you're a trans woman and therefore that's got connotations?
Well, it was different when I made the mistake a couple of years ago when I was single of actually trying some online dating, and I was quite honest on my profile about being trans, you know, you used to get the trans chasers who'd there is a definite group who you know aim solely for transgender women, and they're like another breed entirely, really. But
in what way? You know, more forward? Forward is an understatement, isn't it?
Very forward, very graphic, and. But it was, you know, when they just send you dick pics and stuff like that, I would never reciprocate before I had the surgery. But, you know, some of them were quite deflated when I said, oh, nice pic, mine's bigger than yours. And,
beautiful.
But how does it make you feel opening up your DMs and there's a dick pic?
I have no objection if I requested one, you know, but it's just the fact that they're sent willy-nilly, as it were.
Thank you very much. Well done.
This is the thing.
Unsolicited.
Exactly. And I find it aggressive. Like extremely aggressive.
It is very aggressive.
And I don't think it could be seen as anything other than that, could it? You know, it's like a man flashing you in the street. It's not something. Well,
it's an assault, isn't it? It's an assault.
I think so. It's an invasion.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, what indecent exposure it used to be called. That, you know, at one time, people flashing at you in the park. What's the difference from sending an unsolicited dick pic?
Well, this is worse because it feels like they're doing it in a room with the door locked, you know, coming into your DMs.
Yeah, very much.
But also, here's the thing, right? I'm going to ask a question that's quite vulgar.
Go on.
I'm assuming the dick is erect.
Yes.
Right, so I don't understand how that would be pleasurable for the man. Obviously, you got boner. That's great. You do with that what you want. But how is, like, so you've got a boner, then you'll get your phone, then you've got to take a picture of it, and then, so then you've got that on your phone. Right, okay. So then I'm going to send it to you, Kath.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand. If we are not in a consensual, sexual relationship where that's an acceptable part of the relationship, I don't understand where the pleasure is for me. Is it intimidation? Is it fear? Is it bullying?
I feel like it's an intimidatory move, but I would love to hear from someone who's done it as to what was going through their mind at the time.
Apart from that guy.
Yeah.
Apart from that guy.
But I would love to know what they think they're doing as opposed to what I know they're doing, you know, from my perspective.
Well, let's face it. I mean, most... you know, sex crimes are not actually based around any form of arousal.
No, power, isn't it?
Upon power,
yeah,
and violence, you know. And I think personally, sending unsolicited dick pics are sort of like a power trip for them.
I think so. I mean, do they really think you're going to go, oh, tell you what, I'll take it. Thanks very much.
I was feeling peckish and then this pops through my door. I am in.
It was like I was saying to Claire, you know, when you're online, you know, when we've done things online and there have been comments and stuff, I feel like it's not a real come on. It's actually an attempt to make you feel uncomfortable because they feel like they've got more power than you have or somehow, you know, look at this woman thinking she's brilliant all over Twitter or whatever. I'm going to show her.
But there is no...
It's basically like baboons.
Well, I'm trying to think, is there an equivalent of it going back the other way? Yes, there would be many men that would be offended by a vagina shot. There are, I think, that will be intimidated by it. I do think there are.
I think women are more likely to send pictures of their boobs and their
there are men that would probably enjoy that. I think it is sex and sexuality is slightly different for men, but there would be a number of men who would be threatened and intimidated by that. But a woman sending a boob shot or a fanny shot feels completely different in terms of power dynamic to a bloke sending a dick shot.
All right, if we're going to go there...
So what is the equivalent the other way around is what I'm trying to say.
An erect penis that you have not solicited is rape, isn't it? It is a precursor to rape. That's what it comes down to.
You saying that, I'm not disagreeing.
It's what I feel.
But you saying that sounds very, very extreme to me.
It does, but that's...
But if that's what you feel, then that's what you
I
feel.
I think that's the nugget of the offence it causes.
And I know that you're saying that as well as someone who has been exposed...
Yeah.
..when you were in France, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And attacked.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing. The difference is women's bodies... Women... And I know that women can rape, right? But that is not so frequent.
No.
And you might not be killed by it.
And there is a reason, let's face it, why, say, on television and films, or most mainstream films, you can see full frontal of women, boobs, and lower down and what have you, and it's not being defensive at all. But, you know, you're still not actually allowed to show an erect dick on TV, are you? Because... You know, it is quite vulgar, isn't it, really?
Well, it could be considered a thing of great beauty. But it could be.
Love,
it's weird, isn't it? The genitals, the old lady's doodah and the man's doodah.
It's all about context, right? If I'm in a relationship with someone...
Well, I'm talking about on telly. Yeah, definitely. The context, of course, is all.
So, yeah. But, send me flowers. I don't,
in the shape of a dick. Steffi, thank you for that. I appreciate your insight.
Not at all. Take care, guys.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye. Get that flipping call minder thing sorted out.
So interesting, though. She's seen both sides.
Oh, it's a unique perspective, you know. Not unique, but it's a perspective that is completely different to ours. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Could do with a good film to watch tomorrow. really. I'm busy. I'm going to ride my bike to town and bicycle. I'm going to go for a swim, then do a little bit of shopping, then ride back. Because I've got to lose some weight. I saw myself in the... When I was at the pool today with the boys and I saw my reflection in the mirror. Jeez, I'm not fat shaming myself, but I look disgusting. Horrible fat tits and belly and spotty, but horrible. So I've got to do something. The cats are coming out of the living room tomorrow. Not out in the garden yet, but out of the living room. That's going to be fun. I've got a few things to do. I've got to write 2,000 words on Davy Jones tomorrow. But
just 2,000?
Just 2,000. Just 2,000. And Davy Jones in Japan in the 80s. Look at the Frank Sidebottom album I'm going to release. And go to a meeting tomorrow night, because I've not been to a meeting for a week. And, yeah. And then I want to watch a film. That's what I want to do. Good evening, Gavin.
Evening, Ian. Cass, how you doing?
All right.
Good, good. I was just ringing in. I just turned the radio on. I've just kind of... I only just got my 8-year-old to bed, can you believe?
Hey, mate!
I know.
Playing the game tonight. Well done, your 8-year-old.
Yeah, I know. He is playing the game, but he's asleep. Managed to get the dog in the bed with him, and that seems to have done the job, having a cuddle or so. I only rang in because I heard the lady calling in about chatting about dick pics.
Yeah.
And it just, as I just rang in and I thought, oh my God, it reminded me that my partner this year, she started doing drawings.
Yeah.
She didn't realise that she could do it. She's very good at it. Oh. Really enjoying it.
She didn't realise she could draw, and then what? She was just doodling one day and you went, hey, that enough, good that.
Literally, just one day. She did like a couple of pictures for the kids' birthday parties as they're growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like doing a thing from Frozen or whatever.
Yeah.
And then someone just said to her, do you reckon you could draw this for me? And she did this drawing, and it was really good.
Now, was she drawing or was she tracing?
Drawing, absolutely drawing.
Isn't
from
that
a picture.
Funny? Imagine not knowing you could do that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but her late dad was an artist, so maybe it's just in the family and she never knew. So,
there you go.
I
find
that fascinating.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But that wasn't why I was ringing. It was because she set up an Instagram page to kind of, you know, show people that she could do these drawings. And within about 2 days, she got a WhatsApp from a guy with a full frontal naked dude. Just sent it to her randomly. Hi, how you doing?
Did it have his face on, or was it just torso and downwards?
Yeah, the whole lot.
God,
the
so he really didn't care?
No, he was from America, I think, judging by looking at it.
Hang on a minute. How could you tell he was American?
He's wearing a cowboy hat.
I didn't even get to see it. She just said, I think from the number, because it was a... It didn't have like a cowboy hat and a spurs. But I just thought it was really weird. And I said to her, how has that come about? And it was where she hadn't learned how to remove her number from Instagram.
Right, yeah.
So obviously there must be people just looking for that kind of the access to do that.
But I noticed pretty early on from when I went on Twitter that there are collectors of women. Sometimes I get added to, and I'll check who's added me.
Like a Catherine list.
All Catherines.
Yeah.
Or it was the most bizarre thing, and I wonder whether they kind of work their way through.
It's just really weird though. I just said to her like we were when she told me I was like, well, I don't know what would make you want to do that. It's not a particularly nice thing to look at anyway. Like, you also spoke about the opposite of a woman sending one. I don't think that would be particularly nice either.
No, because the whole point is that when you finally, or when you see your partner's privates, there's feelings there and there's something going on. It's not just, a disembodied pudenda.
Look at you speaking Latin. That's very
well. It's better than Fanny, isn't it?
Well, it is better.
Yeah, in fairness, Fanny would have probably been better for my vocabulary.
You know what I mean? You know, no one goes, "Oh, I bet she's got a lovely one." No one thinks of it like that, do they? Or do they? Maybe some do.
Hang on, let me think. What?
Thinking maybe if you've seen a couple of awful ones, don't know.
you look at a woman and wonder if you know think and say that's a nice ass. I mean, being completely blunt, that happens. But no, do you look at a woman and go, I wonder if she's got a nice vagina?
I don't think so. Having said that, probably the next guy or girl that calls in might say,
Yeah, exactly, because people are weird, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's the nature of it.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Roaming the road and the road is my own. I've been roaming the road and I roam all alone. Roaming the road and the road I am going. I've been roaming the road and the road is my home.
I love that. Now, that is... Well, that is Mike McGeer.
That is me.
But, well, but are you Mike McGeer anymore? You're Mike... You've gone back to... Are you Michael McCartney? Mike McCartney?
My name is Peter Michael McCartney. And all I have to say... I have to, first of all... Has any... No, no, I know what my name is.
I'm reading...
Has anybody actually apologised for Biddly Biddly Bong? That has to be cleared up. Right or wrong?
No one has apologised. I can't find my biddly biddly bong.
See? I can bring it live if you want.
Go on, let's have it.
A biddly biddly bong.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I've got a feeling we won't know what you're talking about, Mike.
Oh, I can assure you, you won't know what I'm talking about.
Now, I have to ask you, are you going to stay awake for this show?
Oh, shit.
Because...
Oh, sorry, am I allowed to
say... You can say one shit, no more.
Okay,
if you do another shit, we'll have to ask you to leave.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Because you phoned me up today... Sounding a little bit worse for wear, with respect. It was your birthday yesterday.
It was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
All day, bless you. Happy on birthday today.
Yes.
It was all day, and my wife looked after me. She's a good girl. She's planned London.
Wow.
Because I live up... I can't say Liverpool, because I now live in the Beverly Hills of Liverpool, across the water, over the water.
Okay.
My dad used to stand on the side, of the underneath the live of birth, and we'd say, Dad, what's that over there? On the other side of the River Mersey. And he'd say, that's over the water, son.
Wow.
Because that was the unobtainable.
World away.
That's where all the rich people lived.
And now you're rich.
No, I'm not rich, but I'm living over the water beyond my means.
It's all on the Never Never, and that's good. But you went to see a show last night.
I did.
And being an older gentleman...
I think I did.
You fell asleep.
Well, it took me back to Auntie Dil and I in the Theatre Clwyd in Wales when we went to see one. And it was one of those theatre in the round and you're right on the edge of the stage, you know.
Yeah.
And Auntie Dil was getting on, so she had an excuse. I wasn't that old then, I'm that old now. And we both fell asleep during the performance. And there's these actors.
In the front row.
That you are as near, you and Kath, are as near as the actors. And there's Auntie Dylan. Like,
what was the play, do you remember?
God knows. Like the
Don't
one
matter.
Last night. Like Bono was the second bit last night. Chasing Bono.
Chasing Bono. I've heard about this. I would ask if it's any good, but you don't know.
I'll have to go back. I'm sorry, Ian Lefrenay. I'm sorry, Ian.
Yeah.
Used to know Ian a long time ago. I'll tell you, Ian, if you're listening to this, this is how long it when you lived in Abbey Road.
Hey.
A million years ago.
Did it?
Before the commitments.
Ian
before
Lefrenay, didn't write The Live of Birds,
Likely,
did he?
No, Likely no, Lads.
Likely Lads.
And Commitments. And
did he write The Commitments?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're probably right. I don't know.
And another very famous one. Which I can't remember. But Ian Lefrenay went to... that was funny. We were in... My wife and I were in the House of Blues in Hollywood, right?
Yeah. Oh.
And I was saying to Ro, I said, I wonder if Ian Lefrenay came over here. I think he lives here now. And it'd be funny if he was here. It's the sort of place he'd come to, this House of Blues. And I swear this what I honestly... No sooner as the word left my mouth, this can't be happening. God, you work in very weird ways. Because there is the man I used to know as Ian Lefrenay walking across out the very dark place with the one-armed drummer from...
Def Leppard. Yeah, wow.
They're walking across this thing. I said, OK, Lefrenay, don't talk to your old friend. Mike, bloody hell, what the hell are you doing? Blah, blah, blah.
I think that LSD you bought in 1966 is finally kicking in, Mike, because these stories are insane. We're only 6 minutes in.
Excuse me, there is nothing wrong with pounds, shillings and
thank
pence.
You very much,
thank you.
You, well, mention the Livebirds, because I know that you wrote the theme tune.
Ian, let's put it like this.
Go on.
Where have you heard that?
I'm too young. I don't remember the programme. But my dad. Of course, that's it. That's the whistle.
That's what Alan Cumming said.
Right.
I did an interview with him, a telly thing.
Yeah.
And I did that for him, and he shook my hands. Mike, you know Alan Cumming's like,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, brilliant actor.
Brilliant actor. He shook my hands and said, what's that for, Al? Because now I'm on special terms with everyone in the world. You know, all the superstars. All right, Al, he probably said, no worry, Mick. You know what I mean?
I thought he was Scottish, not Irish. Or Pakistani.
And he shook my hand and said, what's that for? He says, I can get home to Glasgow and tell my mum I shook the hand of the man that whistled the Livebird theme for 20 years on that telly.
Now, you can't say that!
I didn't say telly.
He whispers like me, loud.
Now, listen, I have been listening to this album, Woman, a lot today.
That's a nice album. Do you know who that is?
Well, I do. Now, because everyone thinks it's a nun.
Yes, they do.
But it's your mum.
My mum.
Was she a midwife?
She was a nurse.
A nurse.
They are the old... you can't see it on the radio. Hold it up to the radio. There's a picture, all of you avidly looking, getting your telescopes out, is a picture of me as a nurse.
It's a stunning picture.
And a lovely picture. Yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
How about that for an album cover?
It's a great album. But everyone for years thought it was a nun.
A nun, they did, yeah. When your mum is taken from you at the age of 12, you have special memories. So when I see that lady that I only knew for 12 years of my life, then there's special things. Yeah, as children, when they're taken away.
Yeah.
So whenever I see that, it's a lovely feeling.
I don't want to dwell too much, you know, I don't want to dwell too much on the sadness, but you've brought up the death of your mum when you were 12, and I can't even begin to imagine what that was like for you and your family at that time. It must have been beyond horrific, particularly at 12, you and your mum.
12, it is very... I blamed everyone, mostly God, whatever that is, then as a 12-year-old child. And it took a couple of years before I thought, Michael, you keep blaming everyone, particularly this God thing. Then, but why did your mum, very personal, she was very, very important to me personally as a human being. So why has she gone? You've got to work it out. And so I had to work it out, and I did. And I suddenly realised the horribleness of that, you know, the blunt severage, the hole it leaves, just impossible is for a reason.
And really? So, you came to that conclusion?
I had to work it out, even a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid. And I worked it out of the reason why she had to go and she went was to teach me, for God's sake, Michael, don't waste a second of this life.
Yeah.
You've got the privilege of breathing. I haven't. Yeah. I'm in somewhere else. I'll see you up there soon, love. But that's the lesson she taught me.
Yeah.
Is you get on with your life and by God, bloody, listen, every second, every whisper, every breath of fresh air, every rainbow. Enjoy.
And you have. You have. Because you've never stopped working. I was reading a lot about The Scaffold, of course, which is obviously the group, in inverted commas, that you were in the 60s and again in the 70s. But it was more of a performance art, theatre, comedy, poetry group than a rock group.
I got us into the pop world.
And everyone thought you were a pop band, but they only knew the hits.
No, they didn't know we were a pop band.
Oh, okay.
I made us a pop
band. Okay.
By writing Thank You Very Much for the Entry Iron.
Yeah.
We were not. We were a university theatre, comedy, satirical comedy, poetry. That's what our modus operandi was. That's what we were best at. And I got us into pop music by writing Thank You Very Much as a song at the end of our show to thank everyone for coming, saying thank you very much for keeping the seat warm, thank you very much for paying to come in. Well, that was a song, so thank you.
Did you then get confused audiences who saw you? I guess you did, like, Top of the Pops and stuff, like that huge hit. They thought they were going to come and see a pop concert.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's you three. It's Ogden, wasn't it, and McGough?
It was John Gorman.
John Gorman, sorry,
John,
not John Gorman.
Was O.T.T. Gorman.
Yeah.
He fan flies, all that. And a McGough poet.
Yeah.
And we once played, I think it was Lewisham Town Hall. This is to just illustrate what you've just said succinctly.
Yeah.
This place, now we're number one, right? We're big number one hit comedy group. So people have packed out Lewisham Town Hall. And there are the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 rows packed with mums and dads and children. Come to see the Lily the Pink group. The last thing we did, we only did Lily the Pink at the end. By which time, after the two-hour performance, all the children were asleep.
Yeah.
And so we'll drink. Wake it up here, this is what we came for.
Get up, Don, get up.
It's here. So that's what it was confusing.
What were those shows like? Because there isn't any recording of them, is there?
Our shows, there is one magical one that the BBC have, and it is absolute magic. There's only one. And I found another Lily the Pink, which should have been banned, honestly.
Filthy. Because you're a very naughty man.
Yeah, well, that's taken for 6 children. That's, you know, why.
You've worked it out now.
Yeah, worked it out, yeah. My wife, on the last 3 boys, she would never tell me how they got there. One day, if she's listening to this, when I get home, will you tell me that?
I'll send her a DVD.
Yeah, could you please?
Yeah, I will, don't worry.
Hey, listen, I've got a DVD on the new McGear album.
Now, tell me about this. Is this on Cherry Red?
Don't worry, I'll be telling you all about this. How long have we got?
We got an hour. Got as long as you want. You're not going before 11, I'm afraid.
Listen, what's his name? Howard Stern in America,
yeah.
New York?
Yeah.
Howard Stern made that mistake. When he got to the end of the our little chat,
yeah.
I got up in the early mornings. I was living with Keith McCartney out in Woodstock. Got on a train, came into New York, walked across New York to this bloke. They said, you've got to get on his show.
Yeah.
He's all the yuppies listening to him coming into New York. He wasn't as big as he is now, but he was big. He was the in one, the one. If you got on his show, he's outrageous at this Lady Robin that was in the next booth and him. And they just chatted away. And I got on. And after about an hour, however long was allowed, he made the mistake of trying to get rid of me. I said, are you joking? He said, sorry, Mike. I said, well, I got up from Keith's house. I've got on a train, walked across New York, and you are trying to get rid of me. Are you joking? Well, we're just going to read the news in the world. I said, I can read the news. And I was on for another half an hour reading the news and the weather.
Brilliant.
Well, you've only come from 20 minutes away tonight, so none of this, it took you hours to get here. Okay. But let's talk about the new albums. Now, these are on Cherry Red, which is an excellent record label. Love Cherry Red. They put out some really cool stuff.
This isn't great.
A reissue on Cherry Red, is it? No, it's not.
No, I think it's another one.
So what is the new album then?
It is the old album, the McGear album, with, these days you've got to be, even our kid is putting all these extra tracks on.
Yeah.
You know, he's automatic setup, but all these little bits you have to put on.
For those who don't know, you're, of course, Elton John's brother.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm Paul the Beatles' brother.
Don't know him. I've heard of him.
He's quite good.
Hold on. Did you not hear my name? Mike McCartney.
I thought you were Elton John's brother. I do apologise. We booked the wrong act.
Elton John's my backing singer. You think that's funny, don't you?
Well, no, I don't, because I know that you did a record with Jimi Hendrix and Dave Mason.
Okay, sorry for banging the mic. I am in... Our Kid is... Sorry for everybody in London. When I say Our Kid, I'm from Liverpool up north. And if I ever say Our Kid, it means my brother or sister.
Yeah.
Okay. So Our Kid had a launch of his group called Wings, he was called. And so this went to the big opening night and went for a pee. As you would, I'd enjoy myself. I remember walking past Gilbert O'Sullivan, dressed as a schoolboy. He'd come prepared. And so I went for a pee. I'm standing in there, peeing away. And next thing is this young lad comes in his pop regalia, and says, oh, hello, Mike. And I looked at him and said, oh, hello, Reg. And because I met this young man in Dick James's studio on the first McGough McGear album.
The music publisher, Dick James.
We started in Dick James's music place. He had a studio there. And I knew this lad from then. And he said, no, no, my name's not Reg anymore. He said, I'm into doing show business like you. And I said, oh, good. I said, who are you? He said, my name now is called Elton John. I said, good luck, son. He's got no chance of that name. And so I thought, well, he said, no, but they, Mike, those were great days. I said, they certainly were. What was? He said, you know, the Abbey Road. I said, yeah, used to record with Scaffold and Abbey Road. Well, we used to be your backing singers.
No
me
way.
And me and my mate, he mentioned a name.
Yeah.
Me and Charlie was used to come. Because Scaffold couldn't sing, I was the only one that could get away with
it. Oh, really?
No. And so I needed for harmonies, that song you just played then,
yeah.
All the harmonies I needed, need someone that could sing so I can harmonise with them.
Yeah.
And so these two lads were brought in as the backing singers. And I said, I remember there were two lads. To help me on my bits. He said, well, they were the best session we ever had. I said, oh, good, thanks. He said, no, honest, mate, you don't understand. We did backing singing all the time. Yours, whenever we came for Scaffold One, we just killed ourselves laughing all day and got paid at the end. They were the best sessions we ever did. Thanks.
I've got we're going off in so many different directions, but
you
mentioned...
will with me.
Good. I'm trying to keep them all in here because I want to go on all of them. But you mentioned the Wings launch. Now, Wings, they were basically your backing band for one album. Was that the McGear album?
This is where it started out with I'd finished with Scaffold. And so that was it, just living up in Liverpool. Our kid rang, said, what are you up to? I said, not a lot. I finished the Scaffs. That's come to an end. He said, oh, well, should we do something together? I said, yeah, whatever. Anything, every mickle makes a muckle. And so, should we do a song? I said, yeah, I'll come down now. And so I went down to London, went to his house, and we're just sitting around.
Yeah.
And him and guitar, him, Lynn and me, just round the house.
Beautiful.
And this little song just came out of nowhere. Do you love your arty jokes, etc., etc. And it was, oh, that's nice, that's nice, that's a nice little song, that. And so, okay, yeah, all right, we'll do it as a single. We'll go into Abbey Road, record it, and do a single. And I said, yeah, great. And that day when we were recording, that day was, oh, my God, I was buggered. It was when I had to do the vocals, you know, like a live thing.
In what way buggered? Not literally.
I was buggered in terms of... having played a what's it called, charity football match,
right.
Monty Python versus Grimms. We'd gone into a thing from Scaffold.
Substantial.
Grimms was Gorman, Grimms, Gorman, John Gorman,
yep.
Roberts, Andy Roberts, the guitarist, for Innes, Neil, McGough McGear, and S for Stanchel.
Stanchel, wow.
So let me translate. Buggered in this context means tired.
Alright,
be your northern translator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Where are you from, Catherine?
Manchester.
Oh, you see. You see, you need us northerners down here just to set you right.
Well, if you press your red buttons at home, listeners, subtitles will be coming up as well. So don't worry, it's all good. So you've been knackered playing football.
And so I was walking up the steps of Abbey Road. You know those steps on the... So you've seen it on the film.
Oh, yes.
Well, that was our Scaffold studio as well. And going up these steps, I was so buggered. It was like as though I had... You know those deep-sea divers?
Yes,
and those lead weight boots. I was going up the stairs to do these bloody things. And did the vocals. And at one stage... This is a letter for anybody interested in production. Arcade was listening up, so he was producing this thing. And they played all the songs. Now you're into the... You sing now, you get down there and sing. And so...
Not in the big studio with the stairs going up to that one?
Yeah,
wow.
The famous one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we recorded.
Brilliant.
Ours. Scaffold, all our stuff was in there. I lie. Lily the Pink was in the big one.
Right.
The All You Need Is Love. We did Lily the Pink in there.
Yeah.
Ask me about Lily the Pink later.
I will.
I'll tell you some gems you don't know. You don't know.
Oh, this is great.
What's coming up, Ari? And so I was so tired. that I was a... Did I love your... Did I love... Shit. I said, sorry, I did the second one, though, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And okay, so what happened? I said, I've just got it wrong. He said, I will tell you when it goes wrong. I'm the producer. And I thought, ooh. And so I went upstairs, and you see, this is where producers are listening. They're listening for what they've got all the stuff they want. They want you to just keep doing it, till they've got it.
Yeah.
That was it. He got it. Came upstairs, and I'm listening to this thing, and I'm thinking, this guy can't sing. Call me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, not very good, this, is it? He's, don't worry. Don't worry. I've got it. It's here. You've done it. But and then slowly, this thing started doing all these little tricks and double tracking. Oh, that sounds better. Oh, that's better. I used to do a scavo. I was used to doing all these tricks. But then this thing started to, oh, this is great. Tony Coe's sax. And it started, suddenly this little gem of a, what? And even I'm dancing up and down
in
the studio. And I thought, wow, that's really good. It was a lovely end product. So that was sent to New York to Linda's parents, to Linda's dad, Lee Eastman, who looked after our kid in New York, and John, his son. And so they heard it. That was it. Just going to be a single. They released here and in America, full stop. And so our kid rings me up and said, and it's gone to New York, and the Eastmans have just come back to me. And said, are you joking? What are you talking? This is fantastic. Why are you going to leave it there? This is so good. You two working together. Mm. This is real magic. You should do something about it. Why don't you do an album? And so our kid rang and said, what do you think? I said, well, I'm free.
Got nothing on for the next 6 months.
Yeah, what are you doing? And though luckily we both had this little time period.
Yeah.
He said, don't fancy working down here. It's too business. We'll come to the studio you did, the Woman album in.
Right.
In Strawberry
Studio. That's the 10cc.
The 10cc studio. First time I walked into that studio with Scaffold, we were doing something. As I heard this boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I'm a Neanderthal man. Boom, boom, a Neanderthal man. Remember that 10cc track called I'm Neanderthal? Yes. That's all I remember. Boom, 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 Neanderthal man. And that's where we went. And we just, this magic little album. We had no idea. We went every day.
Yeah.
What are we doing today? No idea. I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. Here's a little song. This is, I finished this one. Okay. And it was things like the last one, The Man Who Found God on the Moon.
That's a song.
Which is...
That is a tune, man.
I like that one.
That's a great one.
I like that. So that one was in two parts of the studio. I'm working at that end of, in the reception. Our kid is down in the studio doing his guitar, whatever he's doing. Yeah. Danny Lane was in there as well.
Lovely Danny Lane. We've had Danny on the show. He's a top bloke.
Lovely man. And what a great singer.
Oh, he's incredible.
Moody Blues Go Now. What?
I heard they've just re-released that first Moody's album, and they've put a slower version of Go Now.
It wasn't on Cherry Red Records, was it?
No, it wasn't Cherry Red.
Or Esoteric.
I can't remember who it was on, but they recorded at the time and never released it, a slower, bluesier version of Go Now. Man, his voice.
Yes.
It's just incredible. Yes. It's got that kind of like rough, that gruffness to it in there, beautiful. A grit.
Beautiful. So he was there?
Yeah.
And that's all. We just did this whole, this album slowly came together. And they sent me the acetate of the new McGear album. Here it is. Hadn't heard it for 44 years. 74. Recorded in 74.
Is that weird, listening to something 44 years? Yes. That must be like time travel.
Yes. So, but I had to do it. I had to pass the acetate.
Yeah.
And so I put it on. I didn't have any. Nowadays, where's the gramophone gone? Who's got a grammar? How can I borrow your grammar for? I bought one to do the tapes for, to outtakes and old tapes sort of that, and that's what we've got on the new.
Oh,
honestly, wait till you hear.
When's that coming out?
That is now April.
Okay, okay.
And you won't believe, I'll read what they've just told me today.
Brilliant.
It's going on that album. And these little outtakes are absolute. And so I had to, but the main thing is like, listen, and so all I had was this little machine with a what do they call them? Those things you put the record on, a turntable.
Turntable, yeah.
A turntable on the top, and then a cassette. You can put cassettes in it.
Yeah.
And you do CDs.
Yeah, a music system.
A music system. And so And there on the top was a turntable.
Yeah.
So I put a record on the turntable with a shh, shh. Remember that? Put that on. Yeah. Shh, and it went in, right into this song, Sea Breezes First, the fairy one. And I'm thinking, oh, little speakers, tiny little speakers. I think, wow, that's strong. And then I was suddenly listening to this, what it was. All the people that came along because they wanted to be there. It wasn't a job
where
they had to be there. Like Lily the Pink story later on, is all those people were session people.
Yeah.
And because they had to, it's their job. All the people that were on the McGeer album were friends like Paddy Maloney from the Chieftains. Can you come over and do a little Aeolian Pipes on one, etc.
It makes a difference when everyone's there because they want to be there.
Yes.
Makes it, there's a completely different vibe.
In fact,
Kath does not want to be here.
Yeah, I've noticed.
And that vibe.
She wants to get back to
sucking
Manchester.
All the energy out of the room.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best. Yeah. He won't send me home.
I won't. She's contracted to stay here. She will stay. But yeah, you said when everyone's... When everyone's there, you're not allowed to talk to each other, please.
Why could you understand us?
We've been holding hands for the last half an hour.
When everyone's there because they want to be, you can hear that in the record.
You really can.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard it for 44 years. And some listen to this thing, I think, bloody hell, that's good. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, the musicianship in that comes onto the second track. And what do we really know? What do we really? And then in the sessions, I'm saying, OK, can somebody take it now? Jerry Conway was my drummer from... Yeah. These albums here, Arcade was using this thing to try people out, and so Denny was in there for the Wings, for the new Wings. Jimmy McCulloch came in later, etc., and another drummer came in instead of Jerry Conway. But on this, on the McGeer album, I said, okay, this one here, it'd be great. We had a little breaks of a little. Now, drums, Jerry, can you do a drum? Jerry, God, can he do a drum? Bloody hell. So you, and then Paul, can you do a bass solo? He said, a bass solo? I've never done a bass solo in my life. I said, can you do one now? I think it's the only one. You work it out on any of his records. Has he ever done a bass solo?
From what I've read about Paul McCartney, I have to say Paul McCartney. It sounds weird me just saying Paul. He's never...
That's my brother, by the way.
Apparently so. I thought it was David Jones from the Monkees, but I got it wrong. Apparently, he's never been very confident in his bass playing, despite being one of the greatest bass players of all time.
It is like John. John was afraid of his voice. John didn't want his, like Jimmy Ennis. These people... You listen to these people and you think, my God, John Lennon is there. And they echo, more echo,
drown.
And these people, you are like gods, have the little things.
Isn't it funny?
And so I didn't know that. So I said, well, so can you do a drum, what's it called?
Bass.
A bass. So Jerry does drums, you do a bass, and then I think it was... Denny does the end guitar. I've got to meet him and find out which was Jimmy McCulloch and which was Denny guitar. And so I just let it go and I heard it the other night. And then here the drums. You said, wow, God, he's a good drummer. And then suddenly, the bass player, great, comes in. Good, nice little solo. Fantastic.
The bass player.
He's all right, yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Actually, and then the next one was a guitar comes in. I think it was Denny. And then it goes quiet. And then what I've done here, I have gone, I'm now going to take you to another world now.
Oh.
I'm now going to take you to a cartoon world.
Okay.
A cartoon world of weirdness, of weird characters. One called Blob, who talks like this, and one called Beaky. Well, talk like this more. You're not from Brooklyn, is it, for you? And these little characters are... I have introduced this lovely music that comes next after those solos as the start of the weirdo cartoons. I'm going to release them both in April.
The weirdo cartoons.
So I've got them here. I was going to line it up, but the taxi was late. I will show you, and I will show all your listeners. I've got a little excerpt.
Oh, brilliant.
A very, unique, historic.
I need to take a break.
I've been desperate for a break for the last half an hour. Can I have one with you?
Yeah, yes, you can. I want your Lily the Pink story when we get back, please.
Ooh, you'll get it.
Oh, I want it. Hey. This is Talk Radio with Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle and Mike McGeer. Stroke McCartney. More after this.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, during the break there, Mike McCartney just saw Brexit. But Mike Blank just solved...
Mike Fab.
That's what I nearly
Mike
was.
Mike Kebab.
Fab, not Kebab. That was one he didn't choose.
I nearly was Mike Kebab, Mike McFab.
When you were coming up with the names, the surname, was there a long list?
Well, it was. We had in Liverpool, I don't know whether you got it down here, we had something called Beatlemania in Liverpool, which was getting a bit out of hand. And so I thought having McCartney as a surname is rather like having, you know, being Mike Presley. Or Mike Sinatra.
Reg Presley.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Or Elvis Costello. And so I thought, this is silly, so I'll have to change it.
Yeah.
To go on the telly. And so, okay, what are we going to do? And one of the things, J.B. Donlevy is Ginger Man. And I was nearly Mike Dangerfield.
Oh, that sounds like a spy.
I don't think it would have aged very well. Okay. Mike Dangerfield.
Well, still not bad. I was seriously... but around Liverpool at that time, the two words that everyone used were fab and gear.
Fab and gear, yeah.
Before they were plagiarised in America.
Yeah.
By my brother and his chums. Then just ordinary things. Oh, it's fab. Look at that fab. Look at that gear. Oh, she's the gear. Etc. And so at one stage, I was nearly Mike McFab. And I thought,
sounds like an ice lolly.
Yeah, thank you. I thought, that's a bit too silly, Michael. How about Mike McGeer? McGeer,
works.
Sounds Irish.
Yeah,
I'm Irish. So that sounds better. So I became Mike McGeer.
I saw a brilliant. I was falling down the rabbit hole on YouTube today, and I saw a brilliant clip of you and the scaffold on the Mike Douglas show in America.
Oh.
I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, because it's a really uncomfortable clip to watch.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I'm glad you think so. It's, I'm guessing, 68, and it is the height of the Paul is dead rumours.
Okay. Do you want to hear the story? Do you want to hear,
go on.
You can, no, all I'll tell your listeners is you're going to say it the way you saw it on the telly.
You got furious with the guy who came out with all the facts.
It's like solving Brexit. It's no good talking about it.
Yeah.
You've got to really, sometimes, you've got to be honest. You've got to tell people the truth.
Yeah.
And so we were brought down from New York to somewhere, wherever, Detroit, wherever it was, to film this, because it was British Week. British show.
Yes.
And there is Douglas Fairbanks Jr.,
yeah,
very English, doing a sword fence. On the telly, because he's English,
yeah,
it's British Week, and so smashing. And this scaffold brought you down from New York to be on British Week or British Day in different, wherever you are, and say, yes, smashing. And suddenly they put us in the audience. I thought, that's a funny place to perform.
Yeah,
in the middle of an American daytime,
surrounded by lots of old ladies.
It's middle America.
It's a great clip.
This is middle America. Yeah. Daytime.
And you guys with the long hair.
Oh, yeah.
The gorman with the comb over.
Oh, yeah.
McGough looking outrageous.
Kind of spot the Brits.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Pop posers. And so we're wondering, what the hell are we doing in the audience of this daytime live middle American show? And it slowly transpires. Suddenly, this guy, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., has finished fencing. And next one is, here he is, the DJ from LA. And okay, what's all this about? Oh, so you... And he starts talking seriously to this DJ. And the DJ is talking seriously to the man. And I'm suddenly... We look at each other, scaffold look at each other. Because this guy is talking about Paul McCartney is dead.
And he's got all the albums, hasn't he?
The evidence are there on the Abbey Road crossing with the no feet and whatever it is, etc. All, and he's talking this absolute rubbish, just coming out, spewing out of his
very
mouth.
Very seriously. Very. Very straight.
Very serious and very straight. And I'm thinking, at first of all, we look at each other, that's why we're down here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a stitch up.
Paul is, we'd heard about it. But this is so gross. So we sit there patiently, and suddenly they make the mistake of having all this proof that this DJ from LA has given America. This is a right across America show. Oh. Big telly. And so they made this. They suddenly said, well, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, thank you, DJ from LA, whatever his name is. We happen to have Paul's brother, Mike McCartney, sitting in the audience. Mike, what do you think of this? God. Paul is dead. And so you're on the telly for just a second, and I just thought, now then, young man, do you know what you've done?
Yeah.
How horrible that you have done. Can you imagine these little children that love that group My Brother's In, suddenly to hear on like 9/11, it was 9/11 before we came out here. Everyone's there, there's, what's his name, the president, looking, they're telling all the children.
Bush, yeah, he's reading, wasn't he?
And they deliver the news to him,
yeah.
And he suddenly goes into a trance. And suddenly, everybody's in a trance, and I'm suddenly, they've got to come out of this trance. They've got to come to reality. So I said, please, sir, the second that you said to America that my brother is dead, can you imagine those poor children or people who were nervous disposition or ill or heart attack or something, and what you have done to them, the shock of that. And now you're coming on national television here, proving absolute lies. You're saying, let's be honest, what you're doing now is lies. And
it's a great rant, but you managed to hold it in a lot because you're obviously fuming.
Very, very, because it was such a nasty trick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is not the way I want to spend my career. And so to go for this guy and just tell him how vicious, how nasty, how wrong that, suddenly, let's go to an ad.
There are two, you and Gorman do two great lines. One of the, Mike Douglas, I think, asks you, when was the last time you saw your brother? And you said 2 weeks ago at his funeral, which was a great line.
That's a good line.
And then someone says later on, oh, I saw him recently. And Gorman taps you on the shoulder and goes, yeah, but he didn't look very well, did he? Which is, and it's delivered so deadpan.
That's good.
But also, what is great is you say something along the lines of, the biggest crime you've committed here is you've been boring for 10 minutes.
Yes.
You've been boring.
Yes.
You've bored people.
Ian, there is no bigger crime in my book than being boring. Just imagine. Yeah. I mean, it's rather like now, the amount of people that have turned off since we got on. Can you imagine? All asleep. All like the front rows.
They're waiting for the Lily the Pink story.
Yes, oh, they'll get it.
We'll give it to them.
I'm going
to
finish off this story of going up. We've done the thing.
Okay, they go on afterwards.
Cut to an hour. Well, this is live telly. Mm. Cut the hand. Get the Frosties off. For God's sake, get away from this madman who's coming down, destroying American civilization. Get him. And so get it out and up the stairs. And there was a spiral staircase which went up to the green room from the studio. And ahead of me was the DJ from LA. And suddenly he woke up as he's going up the stairs and realised his career was over for being so stupid and being so, you know. And so he just looked down at me, saw the cause of his demise, cause of the end of his career. And you...
He went for you?
Ooh.
No!
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
They had to pull him off.
Cheeky bugger.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the clip, he starts backtracking and going, look, I wasn't saying that he was actually dead. I'm just presenting the... He went for you.
Yeah.
And because here's the thing. I've always loved that myth that Paul McCartney's replaced by a Scottish actor in 66 after
Because it's so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. But watching that clip with you, it made me think, oh, God, but he's a real person. Paul McCartney's a real person.
You're not. You're joking.
No, honestly. No, I know.
Now you tell
and
me.
He's got family. Yeah. And I could see how upset you were that, A, you'd been stitched up. And B, that someone was presenting this utter bullshine to you.
That's right.
And expecting you to somehow respond with, well, okay, the truth's out. You found out how dirty... It's your brother he's talking about. And it never dawned on me like in that way before.
No, but as I say, there are certain times you go like Brexit. You want the answer to that next, don't you?
Go on.
Okay, not at all. It's like, you know, there are certain times in your life. It's like that thing in my mum, the lessons she taught me. Wasting 1 second of our talk here, it is, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
And so, and as we've just said, boring is the worst thing you can do to anyone.
Yeah.
And so that's enough. That'll do.
McGough McGear album.
So you don't want to hear about Brexit? Sorry, McGough McGear album.
68?
There is the cover of the McGough McGear album.
Yeah.
You see the two little gnomes.
Yeah.
I think they're Ruth gnomes, little baby gnomes, and garden in the gnome. But there...
Baby gnomes.
Are little baby gnomes. And it's as though they are... Somebody has put... there's a window.
Yeah.
Right? And somebody... It's all steamed up. And somebody has cleared it, in a bath steam, you know,
yeah.
And you clear the mirror, and the two little gnomes, you can see them outside, right? That is, that steamed up thing was actually Versailles Palace. I was there with Una and Tara Brown. Tara Brown was the young man, Day in the Life.
Day in the Life, in the car,
his mum was the Lady Oramoran Brown. Got a lovely picture of them on the Versailles floors, go up and down like that. Magic herringbone floors, but the windows here that I had to take a photograph of. Can you imagine? You look at that album again, and you will see it's graffiti 1803 etched into the thing. Graffiti was around in 1803 with the French public scratching into the window.
Magic.
1803.
Isn't that fantastic?
So that's what that window is. That's the cover of McGough McGear.
Go. God, you can half wang on in the 60s. I said wang. What is lovely, I didn't realise it was Jane Asher doing the vocals.
On that, yes.
Graham Nash doing the harmonies, you can hear.
Gray, yeah.
Hendrix doing the guitar. And God bless you, Mike, you were miming Jimi Hendrix playing the guitar. And you would have been there when he did that.
No, the best one was on So Much In Love. And I said, I'm sorry, Jim, we're doing our kids... with another track, would you like a drink? Because what do you give superstars to, giving their time free?
Yeah.
And he said, no, man, it's cool. No, I got all on a table on the Delaney Lee studio, table of beer, wine, vodka, anything you wanted that I could pay you back to say thank you for coming. Couldn't pay them bloody money. I couldn't. And so, I'm cool. I'll just rehearse. And I said, okay. So I sent him the track. I said, okay, it's working in here. And so he said, that's all right. And he sat on the floor. And he's just doing his own little guitars, his latest number one. And so the next thing is we sent him the track through, So Much In Love, diddly-doo-dee-doodly-doo. And so, Jim, just you come in for the solo bit. Okay. And so, So Much In Love, da-da-da-da-da-da, right, so, so on. Okay, just finished Pepper, so he was used to these sort of freedom. And so, wow, what do you think? I said, yeah, very, he said, what's wrong? I said, well, he didn't come in the right place. he said, are you going to tell Jimi Hendrix that? I said, I will. Oh. And so I did.
If anyone was going to tell him, it'd be you.
Yeah, of course it would.
Yeah, well, no, as I said before, solving Brexit's next. So I went out into the studio. That picture. Now, this is an interesting picture.
Yeah.
This is just, honestly, this really happened. There is Jimi Hendrix sitting on the floor with his knee next to mine. And so I am doing the thing, and it's right. He said, Mike, I don't know the song. Can you just tell me when to come in? My pleasure, Jim. Our little can's on. Are you ready? Now, Jim, tapping him on the knee to come in.
Oh, mate!
I swear.
That is beautiful.
That's how I got Jimmy in for his solo. And so we did a couple of takes. And so I said, how was that? I said, oh, yeah, you came in the right bit. That's good. That's good. And so so that went back into control.
What does Jimi Hendrix's knee feel like? Has he got a nice knee?
Just like yours.
Wow, rockstar knees.
So get back in the control room. And so our kid said, okay, so you now know I said, how do you mean? He said, well, yeah, the first one. I said, yeah, yeah, that was good, wasn't it? He said, you're good, Michael, you're slowly getting there. And the one you've just done, I said, it came in the right place. He said, but what was it like? I said, it was good, but it wasn't as good as the first. He said, good, Michael, you've learned the lesson in production. Well done, Michael. Tape up, can we have the first one, please? And the engineer said, what do you mean the first one? We've been wiping everyone.
No!
No tracks left, we've been wiping.
That's your fault, that.
My fault.
You ruined rock. You killed rock.
Great, isn't it?
So from the McGear album... coming out in April.
Yeah.
Oh, on Cherry Red. This is your cue.
I've just been told. Are you all queuing up? I've just been told that the McGear album is on luxury vinyl.
Oh, what's hang on? What's luxury vinyl?
No idea.
It's obviously
better than normal vinyl. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is luxury.
No, you're cheap rubbish.
And I didn't know that it was cut at Abbey Road.
Oh.
I didn't know it was. That's apparently the best place to cut them. It's got a double gate sleeve, which America, all you Americans listening are going to be so chuffed with that.
Yeah.
I went over on the first time it was released in 1974, and the Americans thought, oh dear, I've just heard the thought of me and Derek Taylor listening to God on the Moon. I'll come in next time, I'll tell you that
I want to hear about Derek Taylor. I'm a big fan of Derek Taylor.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah, I bet.
That's the reason I went to America.
He was the publicist for the Beatles, yeah. Then went over and worked with the Beach Boys. He's the guy that labelled Brian Wilson a genius.
Yeah.
And the stories I've heard about him, he sounds like an incredible character.
He was an incredible character. At one stage, Paul Myers, Mike Myers' brother, and I were talking.
We've had Paul on the show as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had him a couple of weeks ago. Yeah,
he's
great.
Good man. And we were talking about doing the definitive Derek Taylor documentary.
Yeah.
So that would be good. Got a lot of letters from Derek and lots of memories.
That would be amazing.
At one stage in the McGear tour across America, he says, Michael, I'm going to have to leave you. I said, go to Burbank, right in the middle of the tour, because we had to go from New York right across America, doing all the major cities. And he said, I've got to leave you. I said, why, Dex? He said, because you're going to make me an alcoholic if I continue with you.
I think he got there in the end. He said he got there in the end.
He did.
Can I ask, on tangents, one of my favourite characters in Beatles folklore, and hardly anyone knows anything about him, you might have met him, Magic Alex. Mm. Did you meet Magic Alex?
Sure did.
Magic Alex, when Apple happened, and they were giving away money like lunatics.
And this houses Greek, and cars.
Yeah, and this Greek guy rocked up and said, I can make you a 76-track studio.
Oh, yeah.
I can make you invisible bafflers for the drums.
Oh, yeah.
And none of it worked. No. What was he like?
He was lovely. Lovely little man. Total bullshitter. And got away with it.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Did anything he make worked?
Probably not. I hope it did, for his sake. For his conscience.
I think the only thing he made that I read that was a little box that had flashing lights on that he gave to Lennon, and that was kind of what sold him to Lennon.
And what was that supposed to do?
Flash. Supposed to flash.
Right, okay,
to make you disappear.
Boom. Okay.
Excuse me. I met a man that actually did disappear. He told me he did. And after Maharishi, I was there for the Maharishi bit, the Hilton Park Lane, London. For that and first one.
Then didn't go to Bangor?
They went to...
Bangor?
No, they went to India.
Right.
With Maharishi, the Fabs. But I didn't go there. But I later caught up with meditation, did it for a bit. And at one stage, there's this gentleman in a beautiful... an old gentleman. Can't remember his name now. But he came to the big posh house somewhere near Macclesfield. And so nobody is going there. Nobody's saying anything. But this gentleman, I'd heard... he disappeared. And so nobody, don't say anything about disappearing. And so I'm for Liverpool. It was very polite. And everyone said, oh, thank you, Mr. Johnson, whatever his name was. Thank you for coming, etc. Excuse me, before you go, I've heard that you have disappeared. Is that... Oh, he said, that was just a technique. I said, keep going.
Do you mean disappeared? Like vanished and then came back?
No. I said, well, have you disappeared or haven't you? He said, well, these two ladies apparently, they told me, I was doing my mantra and apparently they were looking at me and either the vision went from either side of me and I appeared to have disappeared.
Appeared to have disappeared.
Appeared to have disappeared.
they blinked at the same time.
So, they blinked.
So see, I have met a man that has disappeared. Oh, so double gate sleeve, yes. For Americans, they're going to love it because I took it over and it's a single gate in America. They only had it didn't open up.
Yeah.
So that one outrageous. Is they're going to get that. So they're going to be there. And now I didn't know two CDs with this album. There is a book. Okay. With photos and promo material, a DVD.
Do you know what that is?
A duvd.
It's a duvd.
There's a duvd.
There's a duvd in there.
With the original Leave It film of 1974.
Oh.
Original Leave It. And then me. They said, a DVD takes a lot. So can you talk about Liverpool, the album, etc.? So I went back to my old school.
Oh, wow.
Filmed me there. We went to the Everyman Theatre, where I started off as Scaffold, when we were called the Liverpool One Fat Lady Non-Electric Show, which no one could pronounce, so we became Scaffold. All these stories are in on that DVD.
What was it like going back to your school? That must have been fun.
It would have been good if I got in the school.
Oh.
I went to the school, my old school, that I, from 11 till 18, and they said, oh, we've got you the John Lennon Auditorium. I said, oh, is that our old gym? Because I'll tell you stories about that next time I come. Yeah. Ivan Vaughan, one of the most important people in pop history, when he was a prefect. I'll tell you that next time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't answer that. Was it the gym we used to go to? They didn't answer that. So the next thing is, right, let's go to the John Lennon Auditorium. So going out, going across, hold on, where are you going? This is my school here.
Yeah.
This is where the top yard here, the down to the bottom yard here, that's where I got Peter Sissons with the water bomb.
Well, Peter Sissons, the newsreader?
Oh, yes. And I did, and he took me to
this
the head.
This is taking some very, very strange... I didn't think we could get a turn stranger than the man disappearing, but now we've got Peter Sissons and
a
water
wet
bombs.
Peter Sissons.
Wow.
Listen, you go off on tangents. You haven't met Mr. Tangent
yet. I know.
So we're going across the top yard there, and we go to the bloody art school, which I couldn't get in.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to art school from the innie, and I couldn't get in because I didn't have enough GCEs to be an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, five GCEs that year, introduced from Switzerland, and I didn't only had one.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We're just debating whether Drop the Boy by Bross is that the speed it's actually played at?
It feels like it's too slow, but...
It drags, doesn't it? Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, Wendy... Now, it's Wason.
Thank you so much for pronouncing it right. Somebody called me Wendy Wason last night.
Well, this is what... I've been dreading saying your surname, because I know
I'm
it's
so
Wason.
Sorry to keep you up at night.
Oh, it's awful. I know it's Wason, and I kept... I've been in my head, I'm going, saying, don't say Wason. Don't say Wes. Don't say Wesson.
Because Mason's fairly straightforward.
W-A-S-O-N.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
I wouldn't say Wesson unless it had a double S, surely. There we go. And there's like people saying like Watson, but then that's a double S as well when they soften the T.
Watson?
Well, yeah, Wesson.
Oh, Wesson.
I've had Wesson, but then that's a double S.
It's Mason with a W.
It's Mason with a W.
Nice and simple.
We all have that thing when you say, what's your name? It's Wendy Wason. Like Mason, but with a W.
Yeah. Well, I'm Ian with two eyes, and you're Catherine with an attitude.
There's so many different ways to spell Catherine. As long as they call me Catherine, I'm fine.
Let's little introduction. So Wendy is a comedian, actor.
Yeah. Why are you looking quizzical at that?
Because I'm seeing how far we can
go. Did I not do your show? I did one of your shows.
Which show?
Did you not do a sketch show that I was in?
This is the thing. I know we've met. But
I
don't know.
We worked together. I did your sketch show.
What sketch show? I didn't do a sketch show.
You did a show once that I'm sure I was in.
Not that Bob one.
Titty Bang Bang.
Yeah, I was in Titty Bang Bang.
But I was only in it briefly.
Did you not do a show with Mackenzie Crook?
Yeah, I did a show with Mackenzie.
I was in that.
The thing with Tony Hadley.
Yeah.
Were you in that?
Well, thanks for my outstanding memory.
Well, no, I'll tell you why, because that never got made. That never got made.
It was the pilot, and we went to watch the screening at MTV, I think.
That's where we filmed it. I don't remember. I don't think I was invited to the screening. I don't remember a screening.
You might have been in it, but I was invited to the screening.
That's never a great sign, is it?
Well, this was... Okay, let's try and date this. Because I don't really remember that...
It must have been about 2008.
So it was. It may have been a little bit further than that. It was when James Corden and Matthew Horn.
Yeah.
It was apparently, so those who don't know, me and Mackenzie Crook, we recorded a show, a pilot that was written by Bob Mortimer. It wasn't very funny, actually, but...
I thought it was quite good. That's really harsh.
But there were some bits.
I thought it was really good.
We're all our own harshest judges.
I think.
But then, and apparently, the BBC were deciding whether to go with that, and instead they went with Corden and Horn. They did a sketch show instead.
That worked out well for
and
BBC,
they went with those guys. I remember getting a very angry phone call from Bob Mortimer going, those effers at the effing BBC, I'm never working for them again. Of course, now he works at the BBC. Yeah. So Bob Mortimer is a backstabber and is a scumbag.
I remember him saying to me, what was wrong with that? He got, like, we were out and we bumped into each other.
Oh, really?
Like, what was wrong with that show? And I thought, nothing was wrong with that. It's just sometimes things aren't the right time.
Yeah, it was all right. I don't really remember it. I don't remember what you did in it.
Neither do I. I think we did something out in the forest or something. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
It was. Do you know?
That's where we met.
I've got it somewhere. So we didn't meet. Doing on the stand-up circuit like 20 odd years ago.
No, I only started doing stand-up when my son was 6 weeks old, and he's now 14.
Wow. Okay.
I was like expressing milk before I went on stage when I started.
Were you literally doing that?
6 weeks. Yeah. I thought if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I did it then, and then had like comedians going, what does breast milk taste like? And I was like, you can take it from this cup. There's no way you're getting it direct from the breast.
So why did you decide to do stand-up then?
I always wanted to do it and then just never felt brave enough and thought, in that sort of madness of a newborn, which I'm sure some women can identify with, you're like, oh my God, time's running out, I've had a baby. And there's nothing that sort of marks the passage of time like a child. So I know I met you in 2008 because I know Max was 4.
Right, okay.
So when I started doing stand-up, he was 6 weeks. And I thought, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So that's when I started doing stand-up. And I would like drive to London. I would live in Hastings at the time.
Yeah.
So I'd drive to London. I'd get a babysitter. Sometimes I took them to the gigs with me. And,
wow.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was pregnant with my first, and I went on a massive surge to... I wanted to be a comedy writer, and I went and, like, had meetings at Radio 4 and all these things, and things I'd never dared do before, because I just thought, shit, right, it's crossroads time. Who am I going to be?
But what's remarkable about that is that you realise what's possible when you're in that madness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because you can push yourself to do things that you would normally go, oh, no, it's not for me.
Yeah.
And now you're just like, I've grown a human. Watch me roar.
Exactly.
Quietly and powerfully.
And also taste this.
Yeah.
Milk.
Yeah.
Taste the milk.
It's like Yakult.
No, it is. It's nice. It's delicious. It's a little...
really sweet. I was surprised how sweet it is.
It's very sweet. We've all had a little...
Oh, we've all had a bit of breast milk, haven't we?
Did you have any placenta? That was kind of big about 10, 15 years ago.
I wanted to sort of make it into pate, but then I read that it was pointless. And then also, by the time you've got the baby out, you're just like, can I just have a lie down? not thinking.
It was very popular. We didn't do it, but it was the thing.
It's really good for postnatal depression.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, if anyone's got any... Oh, yeah. Alan Caddick's
calling. There must be tablets. There must be placenta tablets.
You worked with Mackenzie. You did another thing with Mackenzie, didn't you? Didn't you do like I read online. Didn't you narrate something with Mackenzie Crook?
Oh, yeah. I did Danny Wallace's book. I do quite a lot of voiceovers.
What might we have heard you voicing over?
Various different things. I used to do Sainsbury's. I do Matalan, Uncover the Value.
that's where the gigs are. That's where the money
is. Such a peach of a gig,
isn't it?
You rock it. I did last year. I went did my yoga training courtesy of Virgin Mobile. Thank you so much, Virgin Mobile. because they
my
play
favorite
very well.
One of my best jobs I ever had was when the 11 o'clock show set like second year of that, and I was still very new to all of this, and I got a gig doing the voiceover. This is back in the day when adverts had real money. The voiceover for the RAC, A to B, we RAC to it. And I got a repeat fee, and every time that was shown, I got £250.
What? For voiceovers, you get the basic studio fee, which works out, like, I think it starts at about £150, but I get employed quite a lot because I can do it in 10 minutes, and I'm not costing the advertising company 4 hours of studio time, and studios are really expensive.
Yeah.
So I'll go in and do it in 20 minutes, and they'll get to go off and have a fancy lunch on expenses.
Yeah.
but you get repeats in a way that you don't get it for
Do you still get repeats? Because I no,
they
I'm
work
not,
it out. So they do. You get repeats, but they work it out on the usage time. So
right.
It's a buyout. So you might get $8,000.
Yeah.
But they've worked out how many times it's going to be played.
Right.
And they've worked out the radio slots and where they're going to buy it. And, blah, blah. And every so often you hear your voice on something and you're like, I'm out of contract. What's that?
Oh.
And my agent will be like,
you chase it up.
Damn right I do. I'm
you're
from Scotland.
Brilliant.
Three kids to feed.
I knew that I was quids in when I saw the RAC ad on Coronation Street. I was like, wow. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say this. This is like 20 years ago. That year, from that advert alone, I made £70,000.
Yeah. See, I used to do Confused.com and that was £40,000 a year.
Mate.
See, this is the thing. Then you get some smart ass on Twitter going, oh, yeah, how do you feel about being on that crappy advert? Go, tell you what. Pretty good.
Oh,
like,
well,
do you know what? Yeah. How do I feel about it? I don't know. I'll get back to you after I finish my pina colada on this
oh,
fucking
yeah.
beach.
I do these. I used to voice these things on Channel 5. Cats make you laugh out loud. And loads of tweets. Oh, your career's on the slag here. How do you feel about that? I said, well, each episode is an hour and it pays my mortgage for a month. I'm very, very happy with
it's
it. Thanks
so
very
funny.
Much.
You said, I've got a friend who did a voiceover who shall remain nameless. And he used to do this sort of like... what idiots do, criminal sort of like police stop camera, whatever it was called. And he came to see me in Edinburgh when I was doing the festival, because I do the festival most years, and got outrageously drunk, as everyone does at the Edinburgh Festival, because the bars are open until 4 a.m. And, you know, there was some kind of hilarious story that you tell your friends but you wouldn't tell anyone else. Then he gets called in to do this police camera voiceover thing, and it's like, no, we've caught these criminals on, these idiots. This is a night of the Edinburgh Festival. And
no,
I was like, oh,
no.
Shit. But he wasn't on it, but he spent the whole time going... What if it's a video of me running around with my trousers around my ankles?
Look at this idiot.
Well, do you still do Edinburgh?
It's funny because now's the time of year that you're deciding, and my promoter wants me to do Edinburgh this year, and I just had a text on the way here going, you should do it. So
why would you, did you do it last year?
I didn't know. I've had 2 years off,
right.
Which is why my promoter's like, now you have to go back and do it.
Why do you do it? Because I haven't done it for 20 years. And when people did it for 20 years, it was to get spotted by TV people and get a chat show or get a sitcom or get a sketch show.
It's a trade show. It's why cars turn up at the motor show and show their new model. You're just like, hi, I'm still here. Give us a gig.
But
let me voice your police camera action.
But are there not other ways of doing it now?
Possibly, but it's really saturated with people. Everyone sort of looks at comedians and thinks they can do the big stadium gigs. And as you know, it doesn't work like that. And I think I have driven for like 200 miles for a tenner to sort of hone my craft. And I know that I'm good at what I do because I've put the hours in. And sometimes it's just a wee reminder. And also there's a discipline at the Edinburgh Festival where you turn up every day and you do the same show, and as comics you don't often get that. It's not like an acting job where you do the same show every, like a theatre gig, we do the same show, and it's quite, I want to say rewarding, but rewarding is the wrong word. It's sort of like, it's fulfilling, I
you
think.
Come away better.
You come
however
away
many times
yeah.
you've done it, you come away
it's
better.
It's the 10,000 hours thing that the Beatles talked about, and I think it is that you just do it every day, and you learn things about you, and you learn things about the show, and you learn things about what people find funny, and it's interesting, but it's expensive to do, because you don't make any money.
You still don't make money. There's no one's found a cheat around that.
I don't know where the money goes. It's the most heavily sponsored arts festival in the world.
Yeah.
And all the comics, the people are like, I remember somebody tweeting me and atting me at the tweet saying, I didn't laugh once, you should be ashamed charging 12 quid for that, and me going, I didn't even know my tickets for 12 quid. It's nothing to do with me, pal.
0344 499 1000. We have a call from someone who doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, God.
So, headphones on. This will be a surprise for
Alan. Oh, no,
Alan.
It's not anything unpleasant.
No. Oh, no, it's not. He's a gentle giant. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, Mark. You all right?
I'm very, very well, Alan. How are
Hi,
you?
Girls.
Sorry?
Hi, girls.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Catherine and Wendy.
Oh, same as my mum.
Catherine and Wendy?
No, Wendy.
Wendy, oh.
Are you Alan's mum? Is your mum around about mid-40s?
No, she'll be 17 on the 20th of February.
Oh, same as me.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
To the Wendys. What can we do for you, Alan?
I've got a question for Wendy.
Okay, question for Wendy, gosh.
Who were your comic inspirations?
Oh, that's a good one. My comic inspiration... So, I grew up... Billy Connolly was a real inspiration of mine because he just chats and talks shit, and that's what I'm trying to do and get away with it.
Yeah.
So don't tell anyone. Yeah. But yeah, I do that. I loved watching Billy Connolly, and I loved that thing. And also, bizarrely, the two Ronnies.
Yeah. Do you remember the two Ronnies?
Yeah. And hang on, Alan's getting told off by his dad. Is that your dad telling you to be quiet?
No, he was about to ask something, but my mum didn't tell him I was on the phone to you.
Oh, okay. Is it all right? Are you allowed to carry on the phone call?
My mum had permission off my mum.
Okay. Can Wendy carry on telling us about the two Ronnies, or do you need to go?
No, carry on about the two Ronnies.
Thank you, Alan. The two Ronnies, Wendy.
Yeah, I used to like just sitting watching comedy around the TV with my parents and us all laughing at the same thing. And that group laugh was really, really important to me, and I really enjoyed that sort of... And when I'm doing stand-up, I love watching the crowd when I say something and someone turns to their friend and goes, you do that. And I can see them going, that's you. And I love that sort of group. Because, you know, I think we're all pretty much the same.
Yeah. Alan, do you have you ever performed on the stage?
I have done stand-up once for a talent show for my housing association.
Oh, OK. So can you remember any of the jokes?
We can't afford the telex. We had a report that the police were investigating a break-in at a local police station. They stole nothing but a toilet. So far, they've got nothing to go on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got it, to poo. They can't go for a poo.
That's one. They can't have number one.
What was the noise? What was the noise at the start of that joke, Alan?
A telex machine.
A telex machine.
It was a while ago.
Wendy, do you include telex machine impressions in your show?
I don't.
You're missing out.
No, I need to plow that rich vein
Alan,
of comedy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Alan.
Nice guy. 0344 499 1000. We've got Wendy here for an hour. We're just going to kind of do the show and then just chat and see where we get to. You give us a call, 0344 499 1000. Sam is off tonight, so you'll get Mark. He'll take your name and number and give you a call back. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio. We were just talking about Wendy is here, Catherine is here, about Mike McCartney, who was here yesterday, and about how it made me realise, Catherine. Brian, I'll come to you in a second.
Yeah, you realised on air.
I realised on air, and I think it surprised him as well, because he kind of laughed, that Paul McCartney is a real person, you know, is a real human being, because he said something. I said, oh, you know, I thought that was a funny thing, and you're making me realise that he's real. And he sort of laughed, and of course he's real. It's his brother. It's his brother who's older than him by 2 years, but doesn't seem real to me, you know, and it...
That's the Luke Goss and Matt Goss thing, isn't it? Where you're like, ah, they're people.
They're real people. Although I did interview Matt once.
Did you?
It was not comfortable.
It was tense, wasn't it?
It was tense. It was on Radio 4. It was on Loose Ends. And it didn't go well. He was promoting a new single and he'd just done a cookery show. And I kind of made, like, the intro was to set the scene, was about Bross. And after the intro, he kind of turned to his manager, who was in the next studio, and went, that was the worst intro ever.
In front of you?
Yeah. In front of everyone. There's a lot of people there. And so I kind of thought, right, well, I'm not going to mention your new single till the end. And it just got really uncomfortable. And I kind of remember having to get out of there quick.
But as an adult and a parent, you know that when someone says that, that's nothing to do with you. That's them. Yeah. That's them going, do I have any power here? Here's my power. Okay.
I think both of us handled it quite badly.
Oh, really?
I think I was a bit of a dick and he was a bit of a dick, you know.
And having seen that documentary, you realise, right, here's someone who's been so burned in the past that he's so, so defensive about everything. He thinks everyone's taking the piss because a lot of the time they are.
Yeah.
And chewed up by that celebrity culture that we were talking about.
Yeah.
We were talking about on air?
No, we were talking about it.
But yeah, that sort of celebrity culture where they just pick you up and chew you out and go, what have we got? And then even like the documentary felt like it was meant to be a piss take, but you see the humanity in it and go,
We had the director Joe on, and I watched it twice, and the first time I laughed a lot, and the second time I kind of saw the humanity of the story.
I didn't laugh at all.
Did you not?
No. The pub, that's my dog, he's got a pint. I was like, oh my God. And it's that thing that they say that when you become famous, you freeze at that age that you're famous.
Yeah, the arrested development.
And I think that's, I know it's a cliche, but it feels to me like 100% true.
I know exactly what you mean. That's the sort of thing you would buy if you were 14 and you had a lot of money.
Yeah, and someone said to you, here's a million quid. What are you going to do? I'm going to get a painting of my dog with a pint. And it's going to be hilarious. I'm going to get black and chrome and red stuff in my living room.
This really sophisticated apartment where, like, there's an area where you can sit down and have a chat.
Yeah, this is the conversation corner.
Yeah, and chessboard that no one touches.
Aww.
All that stuff, you know. But I did see it, like a 14-year-old is what I saw when
I saw my wee boy in it, and I was like, that's what, if my Max, who's 14, had been given like money to go make a, you know, that's what he'd do.
Yeah.
He'd put a hot tub in the living room, all that kind of sort of 14-year-old shit.
Yes.
Let's go to, who have we got here? Where's my mouse gone? Evening, Brian.
Hi there, Ian. Hi there, Catherine.
Hi, Brian.
I'd like a couple of questions for the female comic. Hi there.
Let me just check
to get these days.
She's got Wendy Wason. And
I beg your pardon.
That's all right, Brian. That's fine. We know you meant no ill.
My basic question is, I mean, I really like supporting my local comics. I like Jason Cook and Stephen Petty. I don't know whether she's heard of them or not, from the northeast of England.
I know Jason Cook very well. I did an Edinburgh show with Jason Cook in 2008.
Great, honestly.
He's very good. He's very funny.
Yeah. But I would also like to ask you, as a lady who does comedy stuff, do you kind of stick alongside with other female comics like, say, Sarah Milligan? Because I'm a big fan of her. I like her stuff because it is a bit blue, but not too blue.
A bit blue.
Oh, it is very blue.
It's very blue.
Have you seen her live? Because she's not like she is on the telly.
Oh, yeah, I've seen her on the telly, yeah.
No, but have you seen her live? Because she says the C word and everything.
I go down there, you know?
So what's your question? Sorry, I missed your question. Do I hang out with female comics?
How do you find your material, and have you ever been booed off stage? And
hang on, that's a completely different question.
I thought find them quite funny. How do you cope with it?
How do you get booed off stage?
I've never... have I been booed off stage? No. When I first started, I did a gig in King's Cross. And King's Cross in London is quite famous because lots of Scottish people just get the train down from Scotland and drink all day and arrive in King's Cross and then go to the nearest pub. And I did a gig in this pub and everyone in there was absolutely hammered. And I'd only been going for about, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. And the compere, this guy stood up and said, "I'm on lithium and I shouldn't be taking alcohol with my lithium." And the whole room got frightened and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I said, "Does it make me any funnier?" And he went, "Oh, ha, 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 laugh at the mad guy." And the whole room.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. And then I'd been told, if it's going well, stay on. If it's going badly, get off. And I was like, well, this is going badly. And I was like, okay, well, that's my time. And I went to leave the stage. And as I picked up the mic stand, it all collapsed in my hand. So I had to stand there and wait for this little dribble of applause to run out as the compere came back. And so I was like, "Yeah, and Wendy Mason."
Wow!
So it's not booed off stage, but you know that's definitely
A very uncomfortable ending to a set. But now, because I haven't done stand up for years, and me and Kath do some live shows together, but it's kind of it's sort of this basically in front of an audience. I haven't done stand up for 20 years, but now I like it when things go wrong. Now I'm older and I'm more comfortable with what I am on stage. I like it when it goes uncomfortable.
But there's me and you on there. It's not like you're
when
there on
us,
your own.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when it's uncomfortable, that's cool now. And I've been going for 14 years, as I said. So the longer you do stand-up, you get this little bag of tools that you put stuff into. And when it goes wrong, you call it and go, "My goodness, this is going well, isn't it?" And you all have a collective, "Oh my God, isn't this awful?" But when you first start out, you're just like, "They want me to be funny and I'm not being funny." And all that's going through your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, you know, there's things like, you know, if you want a round of applause, you lean into the audience. And there's things that you can, like, even like there's a Darren Brown thing when you end the show and you go, "Then thank you, ladies and gentlemen, that's me." And you put your hands up in the air and they stand up and clap.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Wow, I've literally just demonstrated that I want you to stand up and clap." And you're doing it. And so there's all those little tools that you get. But 8 weeks in, I was just like, so not booed off, but definitely.
Brian, have you ever booed anybody?
Oh no, not at all. I mean, I've only just recently got into comedy stuff. I mean, over the last couple of years, I just remember some of the old comics from my area. You know, I'm not too keen on Roy Chubby Brown. I think he's a bit heavy going. I don't think he's still on the circuit anymore now.
Roy Chubby Brown is still going.
He's still going.
Yeah.
And where exactly are you?
It's in the north. I'm in like Cullercoats and Whitley Bay.
Cullercoats, so I know it very well. I know Tynemouth and North Shields very well.
Wow, here we go, look.
Brilliant.
But I had an ex-boyfriend who was a dentist who now works in Tynemouth, bizarrely. But I do the stand in Newcastle quite a lot.
Okay.
And that's one of the finest comedy clubs in the country.
We've been there. They do the most amazing Sunday roasts.
They also do the most amazing bacon maple cheesecake.
Do they?
That I've ever had in my life.
Dirty.
Yeah, you have to have that. It's gorgeous.
We did a gig there, and I think we had 34 people turn up. But they gave us
free food.
They were loud. And they gave us free food. It's incredible.
Newcastle Stand is one of the finest venues in the country. I love it. I love that. And I never run over because I'm a very lazy comedian. And when they say you're doing 15 minutes, I will do 15 on the nose.
Yeah.
the stand in Newcastle is the only place I'm like, I can't leave. They love me. 25 minutes in, everyone's like, this show has to end.
Go on, Brian.
I'm going to take me a call. Thanks very much.
All right, Brian, take care. Thanks, Brian. I like it when the callers end it and it's not me that has to end it. They go, I'm done. I've said what I had to say. I'm out of here.
Wendy's wanging on.
Wendy's wanging on.
Tell you where else we had a brilliant time and they were ready to go, weren't they, from the get-go?
Yeah.
The Glasgow stand.
Oh. Glasgow. I've got to email them again
just
to sort out another day.
But you know what's that's different about Glasgow? You go into Glasgow, some gigs you go on stage and you're like, oh, how's this going to go? And the audience is like, how are you going to be? Whereas Glasgow stand, before you walk on stage, you're like, this is going to be amazing! Yeah,
we did Edinburgh the day before.
And they were a little bit quieter
to start with.
There's lots of English people in Edinburgh.
Yeah, it was great, but it was a little bit... And then Glasgow, it was nuts.
Yeah.
It was like being pop stars
We'd
almost
come on
for
halfway
two
through
hours.
A party, it felt like, you know?
Yeah. So I've got to email them again and sort
Let's
out
go
and
the stand is an amazing venue.
Yeah.
And they have a policy of having a woman on at every bill, which sounds ridiculous, but... You'd be amazed at how many places do not.
Oh, no, I bet. Yeah, yeah.
The stand have a policy of having a woman on every show.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, you got Boily, because I wanted to have a little slurp on this lovely decaf calf.
Okay. Two care workers are charged after child fight club video surfaces. How's that for a story?
It sounds like. And what? Is this on Dave?
Two daycare workers in St. Louis have been charged with crimes after a 2016 video of a fight club featuring young children surfaced, a court official says.
Okay, that's naughty.
The children were 3 and 4 years old.
Yep,
St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner's spokeswoman Susan Ryan told CNN Wednesday.
Yep.
Michaela Guilford, who's 28, and Tina Daly, 22, were charged with endangering the welfare of a child, a felony, according to probable cause statements for prosecutors. The women directed at least 6 children to have fist fights.
Can I just try something? I just want to see how noisy
it's noisy.
My inhalation is through my nose. Sometimes my nasal cavity is noisier than others. I just want to try. That's noisy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's noisy. Wowzers. I need to get
Do you want to compare it to mine?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't. Hang on, I'm going to do a funny joke, though. Hang on. I'm going to do a very, very, very funny joke. Right, OK, so...
Here we go. Ready for the joke, everyone?
This is going to be a funny joke, guys. We're going to laugh. We're really going to laugh at this, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. So, this is my nasal cavity. That's quite noisy. Catherine, would you mind if we listen to your nasal cavity in comparison? Here we go. This is Catherine coming up to the microphone. Here we go. This is her... Oh, my gosh. Wow. Ooh. That's just Kath breathing in and out through her nose. Okay, I think we've got it now, Catherine. Thank you. Anyway, have you got any stories? Oh,
I finish the story I was telling you?
Hang on. Okay, Catherine, I think we've got it now, Catherine. Back to the story. Okay.
Oh, my God.
But wipe that up. There's another one. Okay. Let's... You were telling us a heartwarming story.
It wasn't heartwarming, it was awful.
About... Oh, jeez. Okay, we're done. You were telling us a story about some kids involved in... Oh, jeez. Okay. Sorry, let's finish. Okay, we're done.
The irony being that there's only one of us in this studio that farts regularly and loudly, and
it's Mark. Go on, tell us this.
So these women apparently directed at least 6 children to have fist fights, noting that the children wore a padded glove and used it to hit each other's heads and bodies.
Yeah.
Videos show at least 6 children fighting over 35 minutes, according to prosecutors. A child who's just fought is seen crying on video.
Oh, so that's the loser.
Still, the women encouraged and supervised the fighting, and one woman is seen jumping up and down with excitement, it says. The alleged incident happened on December 7th, 2016, the birthday of a child identified in the document as CL. He suffered red marks and swelling on his face and forehead.
That's terrible.
And a black eye.
Have you ever had a real black eye? A real proper shiner, like in the
movies. Not a big one. I've had a little one.
It's some look. And it lasts for ages, like weeks.
Did you have it all the way around?
Yeah. Completely black eye.
Like in the Beano.
Yeah, like in the Beano, and then after a while, it comes up quite quickly. It goes black. And then after like a week or 10 days, it goes a bit purple and spreads out a bit. But it's an incredible thing, and you can't help. I got mine because I fell over, but you can't help. Or I walked into a bookcase, or I did something stupid. It wasn't anything exciting, but you can't help but feel a sense of pride. This slight embarrassment, but then a sense of pride.
Well, like you're the winner of a fight.
Yes, 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 yes. No other person was involved. I was an idiot. Yes, a great feeling.
My dad's got, I don't think he's got it up anymore, but he's got a picture in his house of, it's a Norman Rockwell painting called The Winner.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a little girl sitting outside the headmaster's office looking all bedraggled with a shiner. And it looks just
like... I know the picture,
yeah. And it looks just like me.
Oh, yeah, 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 I've seen that.
That's why he bought it.
Yeah.
But that's the closest I've ever had a shiner. I've seen a picture of myself painted some 40 years before I was born.
Yeah. It's good. All I'm saying is don't go out and give yourself a black eye, but it's one of... Can we do this as a phone? Let's do an old phone-in as though it's the late 90s, OK? Here's a phone-in. Physical injuries that are actually quite cool. It's a tough one, right? Well, no, it's not tough. We can do a list of this. Here we go. Oh, this is it. Did we finish your story?
Let's see.
Well, I'll draw a little table.
Oh, do you know how they got found out, these two women?
I hope no one spoke about it.
No one's... Well, actually, one person did, but he wasn't in the...
I'll take that one, Mark, in a second.
10-year-old recorded the incident on video on his iPad. He was with older kids in the next room, and he was worried about his little brother who was crying after three fights. He texted the video to his mum, who called the daycare centre, and that's how they got busted.
Kick some ass. Physical injuries that are quite cool. I'm going to start with a black eye. Let's go to line one. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hi, can I ask you what subject you are talking about today?
Yes, you can. Who is this?
My name's Naveed.
Okay. We are asking which physical injuries is it cool to have? And Brexit.
Which injury is cool to have?
Yeah, like we've only just started this one. It's going to be a bit very popular phone in. You're right at the top of it. So far, we have a black eye.
Right. I can answer that question. Which injury is cool to have is blindness. I'm totally blind.
Okay, well, now, to see if we can actually put this on the list, did you lose your sight through injury?
I lost my eyesight through disease.
Aye. Hey, listen, we can't put that on the list. That's not a cool thing to have. But man alive, how long have you been blind? What was your name again?
My name's Naveed.
Naveed. How long have you been blind, Naveed?
Yeah. 3 years.
Flipping heck. You sound like a young man. How old are you, 24?
37.
37?
Yeah.
You sound like a boy. He sounds like a boy.
I was born on 27/06/1981.
Okay. Wowzers. Okay, I don't believe you. So what disease did you get that sent you blind then, Naveed?
I had diabetes when I was 13.
Oh.
So I've had it for 25 years.
Because I don't know much about diabetes. How did you go blind then? You weren't treating it properly.
Retinal therapy, which is basically a detached retina and a bleeding and scarring in my eyes internally.
And did it go all at once or was it gradually?
I lost both eyes on my birthday.
Flipping heck, Naveed. That's awful. I'm so sorry. This will sound patronising, but that must have been devastating.
It still is, yeah.
How do you cope on a daily basis?
I try not to get mad or frustrated, but since I've gone blind, I've never had no support from my council, anything. I've been fighting with them for the last 2 years to get volunteer or social care or adult care, and they won't give it to me because their budget's been cut.
Oh. So do you have like friends or family or anything that help you?
My mum helps me, but she's 60.
Yeah, yeah. And do you live with your mum?
Yes, I do, yeah.
And did you live with your mum before you went blind?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, this is the cruel world we live in. That's probably why you're not getting any help from the council, because they see you as having your mum and that she can do all the work, which is terrible.
Yeah. Yes, it is, yes.
Ah, Naveed, how long have you been listening to this? Do you listen to me and Kath a lot, or is this the first time, or what?
I've listened to you a couple of times, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, man. We're on we're on Monday to Friday. We might not be on one day next week, but that's by the by. Me and Kath are on Monday to Friday, 10 o'clock at night until 1 o'clock in the morning. And if you ever want to phone up and vent, or you want to phone up and have a laugh, or you just want to phone up and just, you know, have a conversation with someone that isn't your mum, you'd be very, very welcome to give us a call.
Right, OK.
Is there anything else you wanted to say or ask Naveed?
No, I was going to say I was getting mad at the caller that you had on last time about White Month or racism.
Yeah. Go on, why were you getting mad?
I thought how stupid he is. He doesn't understand that the white man, the British Raj, they controlled the whole world before they started giving pieces back. So if he's talking about White Month, they had it for over 100 years.
And also, we only gave it back once we'd broken it. The state we gave Pakistan and India back was terrible.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, Naveed, listen, man, it's really nice to talk to you. I'm sorry that life has dealt you a crappy set of cards, but maybe we'll talk again at some point, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Naveed. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. It's a withheld number. Don't always take withheld numbers. Flippin' heck. Blind on his birthday.
Imagine.
If anyone's got a right to lose their temper now, then it's that guy. Thank you, Naveed. I really appreciate that. Thank you for listening to this rubbish that we do. And I look forward to speaking to you again. The switchboard is empty. We can go back to doing cool physical injuries. We won't put Naveed's blindness on there. I thought that was very noble of him to suggest that. But I'm gonna because technically it's not an injury. It was an illness. That's not what we're doing. So far, we've only got black eyes. 0344. 499-1000, this is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm all the better for talking to you in Kirkcaldy.
Yes.
Say it again, Joe.
Kirkcaldy.
Kirkcaldy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not saying the L?
No.
This is the thing, no, I always struggle with this flipping place. And now I'm... Kirkcaldy.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because that's what she said, Kirkcaldy.
She didn't say Kirkcaldy.
Say it again, please. Please say Kirkcaldy.
Kirkcaldy, what's wrong? Kirkcaldy. I think cod and chips, Kirkcaldy.
It's not coddy as in chips.
That's how she's saying it.
Kirkcaldy.
Not Kirkcaldy. Yeah. What are you saying it like that for?
Because that's how she's saying it, Kirkcaldy.
She's not.
I'm sorry, Joe. Kath's in one of those moods.
What, where I'm right. Sorry. It's not a mood, it's a state of mind.
Kirkcaldy.
Kirkcaldy. Kirkcaldy. Stop being weird in the middle
I'm
of it.
I'm not being weird. Joe, what would you like? I'll be honest, Joe, I'm tempted to cut you off. You've come on and you've created division between two close friends. You've really stirred the pot up and we've only just got past your place name. So God knows what your point is going to be. What would you like to say, troublemaker?
Do you know something? I phoned tonight. This is my first call to you, Ian.
Okay. I'm sorry that we're in a silly mood.
No, that's fine.
Okay, good.
I'm going to touch on two things.
Yes.
And I'm going to firstly touch on the young man that you helped, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes, Chris.
I work with the ambulance service as a 999 call handler.
Oh my God, the stuff that, I mean, you deal with, we dealt with it once, you deal with that every day. Thank you for your service.
Do you know what? You were amazing with that young man. You were absolutely amazing. And do you know something? You did everything right for Chris.
Thank you. That's very high praise. Thank you.
Yeah, just hope he's getting the help that he needs now. And another thing, Naveed's just been on.
Yeah, that was some call, wasn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, it was, wasn't it? You know, life can deal some horrible blows and some horrible cards at times. But just to make listeners aware that there's an app out there called Be My Eyes.
Did you just tweet me about this?
I did.
Right. Now, I've got...
Manny's told us about
Manny's told us about this. Now, this is... Mm-hmm. Describe what it is. Go on, while I try and... I've got Be Specular, which is a slightly different one. But go on, you describe what it is.
Okay. Well, it's an app that you can download, and blind people and sighted people can download this app.
Yeah.
And they register either as one or the other.
Yeah.
It's completely free. They volunteer to help sighted people. I took a call the other week there where there was a guy with his mobile phone pointing it in the fridge, pulling things out, saying, what's the use-by date on this? Does it need to go in the bin or does it need to go back in the fridge?
And you were able to tell him?
Yes.
And do you do it live or is it like leave little messages for each other?
No, it's completely live. You don't kind of engage with the person, like speak to them, you know, have a conversation. It's just, hi, how can I help you? And they tell you how you can help. Like, is this the blue sock or the red sock?
This is brilliant.
So simple. So simple. And yet it's such a lifeline to non-sighted people.
So what's your app called?
It's called Be My Eyes.
All right, now, Be My Eyes. So this one's Be Specular, which I think is American. And I've just logged in, and there's someone has posted a request, and it's a picture. It might be a video. Let's see what it says. Hang on, let me just turn the volume up.
Okay.
Here we go.
I was wondering if someone could please read this for me.
Right, so there's something that says, I wonder if someone could please read this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now, you can't quite... So I'm going to... There's like a half of a... A sign there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's help this young person because I can only see half of the sign. So we're going to find the full quote and give him the quote. It's from Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
And the start. I'm going to read what I can see. It misses half the thing. So we're going to work this out, Joe. We're going to find it and we're going to tell. So what I can read is it is not.
Yep.
Abilities. Show mm-hmm. what. Truly are.
Yep.
Our choices.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if we can get the full quote.
It is not our abilities that show what we truly are. It is our choices.
Right, okay. Then we're going to leave a message for this young person, for Tyler, whose name, this person's name is. The mm-hmm. request has four pictures. Oh, there are more pictures. Hang on. Sorry. Of course, he's blind, so he's trying to take a picture as best as he can.
Right.
He's missed it. Right, okay.
I've got it here. Do you want it?
Hang on. Hello, Tyler. My name is Ian. We can't see the full quote, but we've managed to find it for you. And the quote is, it is our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are far more than our abilities. And that's credited to Dumbledore. Hope that helps.
There you go.
There we go. Then we go. Yes, send. How polite was the person? Very polite. Oh, and then there's another picture where actually you can now see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. That's the next thing. There we go. Thank you, Joe. That's amazing, isn't it? And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I worked out last week what the meaning of life is. It's mm-hmm. to make the world a little bit better for our babies. That's all it is. And stuff like that app and the one I just used and the one you mentioned. That's making the world a little bit better for our babies, isn't it? That's just offering someone a helping hand for 25 seconds that it takes you to do it.
Absolutely. And like when my phone rings, quite a lot of the time it'll say another volunteer has answered the call because they've got through it quicker than myself.
Oh.
But, you know, I think I've had about 3 calls in the last year. You know, and I don't know the people's names. I don't know where they're from because I don't ask them. I just ask them, how can I help? And they tell me and they point their phone to where they think things are, you know, like the sell-by dates on food in the fridge. And I tell them whether to bin it or whether to put it back in the fridge. Yeah, and
we got another one. I found one from Lisa now. This looks a little unfortunate. This is Lisa. It looks like Lisa is trying to see what type of dress it is.
Right.
So let's have a listen to what... I'm not quite sure why it's so quiet on here. Let me do sound media. There we go. Ooh, hello. Right, so let's see what Lisa's asking.
Hi, guys. I want to wear this dress today. My mum gave it to me for Christmas.
Oh, it's a nice dress.
I do recall that she said it was black and white, but I don't remember what the design was like.
Okay.
So
we can help.
No one's home, so if someone could describe it, that would be fabulous. Thanks, guys.
Do you want to do this one, Catherine?
Yeah, go on then.
What do I do? Right, so you've got to press... let me unplug this. So you press and hold the microphone symbol, yeah, and you just talk into it. There we go. You've got a bit of...
All right. Okay.
And describe the dress for her, please.
Okay.
This is great. I'm going to be honest, Joe. This is fun as well.
All right, here we go.
It's great fun.
Here we go.
You know, it's good.
Oh, hang on. Tap to reply. Hello, Lisa. I'm looking at the dress, and you're right, it's black and white. It has spots on it for the most part, but down the middle, there's a thick band of black and white stripes, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all together, all down the middle, but on either side, it's a spotty design. Bye.
This is wicked. Thank you for reminding me about this one, Joe. Hey, nice one, Joe. Thank you for calling. I hope we get to speak again soon. Can I just suggest that you don't come on in such an aggressive manner next time, please? Because we're trying to do a nice, peaceful show here, and I thought you were very argumentative.
Oh, thank you very much.
you're a good sport. Thanks for calling, Joe. We'll speak again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my love.
Bye-bye. There we go. That was nice. Right. I wonder if we can find any more. So we've done... Did you send it?
I think so.
Hello, Lisa. I think we may have sent a reply already, but we're going to send another one just to say it's a very lovely dress. It is black and white. The sides are primarily black with white spots. And the centre is black stripes with 1, 2... Oh, it's difficult to see, isn't it? Because it makes... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think 8 white stripes and black stripes in between. I hope that helps. OK, well, she's got plenty of... Was she polite? You're very polite. We've done Tyler. There's another request from Tyler. OK, we've got another request.
Are you going to read the whole book? Sentence by sentence.
Why not? That's it.
Can someone please read these 2 pages to me?
Wow, that's a lot. Okay, that's a lot.
Oh.
I'm prepared to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it. Definitely.
I'll share it with you if you want. What pages you got?
Hang on a minute. Hi, Tyler. This is Ian again. I'm going to try and read it. There's quite a lot of text. So here we go. I'm reading it now. In big yellow letters, "We've got your back." Then in smaller letters, "The first year of college is a critical time of adjustment, both academically and socially. Sunny, S-U-N-Y, Adirondack has developed programs and resources to help students survive and excel during the first year. This booklet can help you in navigating some of the offices, services and policies on campus. For more detailed information, please read the Sunny ADK, that's S-U-N-Y ADK handbook, and the college catalogue." So that's the first page. Then we go over to the second page, where the pictures aren't quite so clear. So I'm going to help with what I can, OK? There are 5 different sections. The first one is "Get to Know Your Professor." "Professors can be a great resource for you on campus." Sorry, it's a little bit blurry. "They can help you navigate the intricacies of college courses. Professors hold office hours each week for your convenience." Second paragraph, "Practice good time management. It is important that you practice good time management to ensure you do not become overwhelmed. This can include creating a schedule, practicing good sleeping habits, utilising free time and being cognizant of parking on campus." Third paragraph, "If you don't know, ask. To make your college transition as easy as possible, be sure to take initiative and ask questions you may have, academic or social, to the appropriate office." The fourth one, it says "get involved" and... I can't read it because in one picture it's cut off slightly, another picture it's slightly blurred. So I can't help with that, but I think I can help with most of the last one, which is "utilise campus resources." Sunny ADK
strives to maintain excellence in the resources provided to students to help them succeed on campus. These resources can... Oh, hang on a minute. My phone's gone a bit funny. Go away. Oh, no, don't tell me I've lost it. No, it's still going. Sorry, Tyler, my phone went funny. These resources can help you to navigate stressful experiences throughout your college year. And then it gets a little bit blurry. But that there's only a few more words after that. I hope that's helpful. Thanks a lot. This is the most fun ever. I'm gonna forget Fortnite. I'm getting my kids to do this. Good Hi. Evening, Mandy.
Oh, hello, Ian. I want to tell you about a call injury.
Here we go. At last. A caller who knows how to get to the meat and two veg. This is it. This is what we wanted. My pen is poised. What have you got?
I think when you're 60 and you've got no teeth and you've got love bites around your neck and on your cleavage, I think that looks really cool. That's an injury, isn't it? Love bites.
Yeah, I know what love bites are. So tell me, Mandy, you're 60.
Yeah.
You've got no teeth.
Yeah.
And you've got love bites all around your boobs and your neck.
Yeah.
Are you doing it yourself?
No. Men want to do it to me.
Men want to do it to you?
Gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know why.
Can we give you, across the radio waves, we're giving you a high five. Go, Mandy.
So is the lack of teeth, maybe the lack of teeth, I think it's called a gumming.
I think they want to love me. I think they just want to show their love.
Is it love or is it sex?
Wow, it might be sex.
Yeah. Are you having a good time?
I'm having a great time.
Are you making sure they wear a Johnny?
Oh, they're not going down there.
Yeah,
they're
we
not
go.
Going downstairs.
Okay.
Only upstairs.
Good. Well, as long as they're upstairs and maybe the lack of teeth is part of the thrill and the love bites, and that's great. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought I'd just pop that one in for you, Ian.
Oh,
I hope you like it.
I thought
it.
They weren't going downstairs. I love it, Mandy. Whereabouts in the country are you?
I'm in Bromley.
That's not far from Talk Radio.
Ah. Can I come along and see you?
Not a chance in hell, Mandy. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Not a chance in hell.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.